you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
When we return, open phones for the remainder of the program. Open phones. So if you'd like to follow up on this or any other segment that we have presented this afternoon, or for that matter, if you'd like to introduce into discussion some other ideas that you'd like us to explore, by all means, please do so. Good afternoon. You are on the air. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentle person Hamilton. I have to welcome you back. I had to tune away during that month when the shows were different.
Okay.
And I just have to say that your show today was outstanding, as usual. And I was wondering, could you tell me what time it is?
Why?
Because I love it when you say it's 42 minutes.
That's funny. That's funny.
But I do have a real question.
Yes.
If you could just tell me what time it is.
Yes. It is 35 minutes after the hour.
That's great. And have you been to the Don and Mike website and pulled your pants?
No, I have not been to the Don and Mike website, and I have not I have not disrobed in any way, shape, or form. But thank you very much for listening, and thanks for the call. Good afternoon, Talk Back. You are up next.
Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I don't know.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the show.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Well, hi, everybody. The show's going to be fun, man. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody.
There's one on there. You play one on there, it sounds like it's not really even human. It sounds like somebody trying to pull on some vinyl pan.
Oh, no.
Not that one. Not that one. Not that one.
Johnny.
Ladies and gentlemen, Don and Mike.
Welcome.
That's right, this is the Don and Mike Show. Hi, little brains.
Good afternoon.
It's us. Other little brains.
Yeah, we're ready to believe you.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Our phone number, same as it was yesterday, 877-365-3636. One of the things we have to update as our website continues to get a facelift like Joan Rivers is our affiliates list.
Yes.
They are heard every day in these great cities, among others. All the way from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine, Pittsburgh, Miami, and South Florida, Palm Springs, California, Vegas, Colorado Springs, Ocean City, Maryland, Rochester, Palm Springs, California, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Sacramento.
Hello. That's a special hi, everybody, for Sacramento, California.
D.C., Baltimore, Wichita, Reno, Pittsburgh, PA. We're getting a lot of cities there, maybe mention some more than once. We'll have that fixed up on our website.
And the website looking beautiful.
And I got a note from Yanni, our webmaster, who says, Dear Don, some dummies cannot get the new site to load. They need to delete the old bookmark and retype the address
DonandMikeWebsite.com
into their browser. So do that. Do that. Look, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that was somebody who bailed out. It bailed out even before the show started.
It gave me a moment to get whatever was there and drink it back down.
Oh. Hey, that's a Sony Pictures shirt that you got from way back when.
That's right.
You've had that a long time.
This shirt? Yes.
You haven't worn it in a long time.
That's right.
It held up well. It looks brand new.
It's old, right?
It's old, but it's brand new looking.
Because whenever we went out to California,
I mean, I don't know how long ago that was, but it was a
like
good long time.
10 or 15 years?
Yeah. I mean,
at least 10 years ago.
Right.
When were we first on Lisa Remedy's TV show?
Oh, wow.
When did we do that first?
37 years ago.
Okay.
Like 7 years ago, I think.
That 7 years ago?
I mean, it's only been on 8 seasons.
The golden age of television.
That's when I got this shirt.
Uh-huh. It was back when we were partying with Jackie Gleason and the June Taylor dancers.
It's a shirt that says, what does it say on it?
Sony Pictures Athletic Department.
Uh-huh. Right. I got it and brought it back home and realized that it was like fat guy in a little coat, which is why it looks brand new, because it's really never been worn.
Never been worn, I really admire you being able to hold on to stuff like that. I mean, because I know you clean closets periodically, right? Are you a hoarder? I mean, do you have stuff like from a million years ago?
Turns out I do.
Okay, I didn't know that, because I usually just clean out closets and, I don't do it as much as I should, but I throw a lot of stuff out.
I was just looking for anything that didn't say Green Bay Packers today, because I wanted to be different.
Good for you.
I mean, I do have all my Packers shoes and socks.
Don't
get me wrong. Always. Well, at least the socks. Always.
Sure.
But, I went through it. What a happy surprise. Although, I don't want you to think that I'm painting the picture that I'm Jack freaking LaLanne and I can fit into anything at all.
Yeah. Right.
Because after I put on this sweatshirt, which I think is a large, I was like, wow, I can wear this now. Cool. Right next to it was a NASCAR polo, like golf type shirt.
Right.
Uh-huh. Also a large. I thought, even better. It's a warm day. I pulled that thing on, and my God, it looked like Elvis trying to get his belly in saran wrap.
All the pulling and tugging in the world couldn't get that thing to fit.
It's a true golf shirt.
Right.
Made for one of those anorexic, muscle-bound golfers, not a big, fat load.
Yeah, and they shrink sometimes, too, you know. One laundering, sometimes that can ruin a shirt.
But the NASCAR shirt was just like this one. Yeah. Out of the bag, never been worn before.
Very, very cool.
So it's
kind of fun when you discover something like that.
Well, except that. You know,
did you go foraging around like old stuff or looking for new stuff to find or what?
Having to find room for the girlfriend to put stuff away.
I understand.
That's what brought all that on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and my girlfriend. Have I pointed out recently that she's really smart?
No, you haven't. Not enough.
You should.
Not enough, as far as I'm concerned.
She's college educated,
uh-huh.
A professional woman, and a champion of her industry. This morning, as we are discussing the events of the day, such as they are, one of the events of the day that I mentioned was, hey, it looks like Tony Blair's pulling out of Iraq.
Yes.
Right. Good. Maybe, you know, they don't have as many troops as we do, but good they're doing something.
Well, he's kind of doing it before we are.
And then Jan says to me, well, you know why that is. And I was waiting for the answer that it was like, I'm sure you're thinking, like, politically motivated, or maybe that it's Tony Blair's last hurrah before he leaves office.
I think what the popular sentiment is. He wants to...
trying to scoop Bush. Or
wants
what,
his legacy to be something other than keeping troops in Iraq.
Doesn't want to be tied to Bush forever at the kneecap. So I'm waiting for this pearl of wisdom. And she says, oh, no, he's taking the troops out because of the Queen. And I said, why is that? And she said, because the Queen doesn't want Harry to go to Iraq. And I said to her,
it's true.
I said, what do you mean? She said, the Queen is the commander-in-chief of everything. And I said, Janet, the Queen, it's fake. And I said, Brits, they know that they're just fake.
It's a ceremonial position.
Figurehead. It's pomp and circumstance. Right. And she said,
tradition. I mean, she does consult with the prime minister, policy is dictated by their democratic form of government.
No,
by the parliament.
You bet your ass she's not, Rob.
Her job is being hot.
She's guilty, Rob, of being hot.
Hot as balls.
My girlfriend is just looking at me with these big, beautiful eyes.
Where did she get the Queen theory? Where'd that come from?
Well, she's the commander-in-chief.
She saw the movie?
You know, again, like I said, she's smart.
Uh-huh.
Because I left it with her. I said, I'm not the smartest guy on this street. Uh-huh. God knows, out in the real world. But even I know that the Queen and the Prince and all that, that's made up. And then I went too far with it because I'm not really sure if she was joking or half-joking.
Right.
I went back and I said, just so I'm absolutely clear on this, I said...
She says the Queen is the Commander-in-Chief.
I said, you really think... I said, we're not making any jokes here. You really think that the Queen of England decided that she would finally put her foot down and pull all of the troops out of Iraq just so that her grandson would not have to go? And she looked at me and she said yes. And I said, have a wonderful day of work. I am truly amazed that you are able to bring in the dollar amount that you bring in. And I will tell you that my girlfriend works on Capitol Hill. I don't want to totally embarrass her.
No, Did she do any explaining about that? Because I know, for one, you know what I know? I know what I don't know. And I don't know exactly how the system of government works in Great Britain. But I do know this, that I saw The Queen, the movie with Helen Mirren.
Right.
And it seems to me that she is
she's hot too.
Uh-huh. She's been naked in a lot of movies, Rob. Yeah, a lot of movies.
Not enough movies.
It seems to me that in that particular film, Tony Blair has a little bit more influence on the Queen than she has on Tony Blair.
Right. Well, I, of course, know nothing about anything, but I feel very strongly in my conviction that I said to Janet this morning, no. Queen,
she might have a ceremonial title as Commander of the British Empire.
Right.
But understand what Janet was saying, and I really did pin her down on this.
Yes, good.
So you think with everything going on in the world, with all of the pro and cons to the war, that finally Queen Elizabeth pulls the stick out of her butt and says, oh, I don't want Harry to go. Hello, Tony? Take everyone out right now so my grandson will be out of harm's way.
I know this. I know that they have chats either... every other week or every week, they chat. The Prime Minister comes to Buckingham Palace to meet with the Queen. I think even if she wanted that, all she would be able to do would be, Tony, I think this Iraq situation seems a bit untenable.
Yes.
I really, it discourages me. She could not say, pull the troops out.
No.
Of course she doesn't have the power.
Like I said, I'm just spotlight right here on my gal pal.
You're power.
But Harry's the retarded boy, isn't he?
He's the red-haired boy.
Yeah, I mean, he's not even in line for the throne. If I was the Queen, I'd send him over by himself.
Harry's the boy that wants to go to Iraq. Harry's the boy that they're...
Well, they're both in the military, aren't they?
No, Harry is...
William, I think, is done his service. He's done.
Harry wants to be sent to the front lines, which is
Harry wants to get into it.
Which is why Janet thought the Queen decided now would be the time to just pull Britain out of the war.
Send over the Irish. They're less expensive than the Arabs.
Doesn't Harry have magical powers?
That's a different Harry.
Oh, I'm
different Harry.
He was British.
All right, well, she makes my life interesting.
Incidentally,
so.
That's my favorite line in the Mel Gibson movie where he's William Wallace. What's that? Braveheart. Where the King of England, and they're about to do battle, and the King of England says, now, send in the Irish. The arrows are too expensive. He actually thought that the Irish people were less valuable than the arrows that were used in the...
In
the archer's quiver.
That's right.
Expendable life.
That's right.
And then the Irish guys conspire with the Scottish guys to beat the British guys. Mm-hmm. It's great. We will have our freedom.
I should have called you because you're a history buff.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, I just watched that movie.
And you're a political guy.
Yeah.
So I was wondering who could I possibly call to back me up on this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I,
what I'm curious about is where it germinated from, where she heard it, where she thought, you know, whether this is her own theory. Because, I mean, I spent a little time with her this past weekend.
Inside that big, beautiful head somewhere. It's just rolling around in there.
She just made this one up herself.
Like a marble just rolling around in there.
I think it's been in the tabloid or the tabloid websites. I mean, people have been theorizing about
that
it.
That she doesn't want Harry over there.
Right.
Yes.
But she has no power to
really
do that.
No. All right, well, enough with that. let's talk about my other girlfriend, Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer.
Turns out, and I am more than willing to eat the S sandwich on this, especially if it's full of Jennifer Aniston. Those topless pictures we had of her on the website.
Yes.
Yeah, they're true. They're real.
That's really her?
Because Perez Hilton is now being sued by Jennifer Aniston.
Ah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Perez Hilton had some nice pictures of, was it Sienna Miller? Is it Sierra?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Is it Sienna? Is it Sienna Miller?
Good old Perez Hilton. Got the shot from footage during filming of the breakup.
right?
Remember that we were debating if those were real or not? As it turns out, they are, and she's suing.
I forgot what we were saying. I mean, I think we were kind of...
You liked them. I was disappointed
yes,
in them.
You were. I liked them, but I think we both thought if it was Photoshopped, it was some incredible job because they really did look real.
I thought there would be more to them. And isn't there also breaking Britney news?
She's out of rehab again. She left.
Just, you're kidding me.
Just couldn't stick around.
Oh, she's incredible.
Yeah, apparently so. Well, maybe she's healed this time.
I'm stupid.
Wow.
So she's cured, right? So all is well?
Absolutely. After 2 stays in rehab, sure.
So the first stay, less than 24 hours. Uh-huh. Second stay, less than 48 hours.
Right.
And her hair is shoulder length now. It's grown out.
It grew that fast.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Howdy.
Hi.
Hello.
The Queen is the Commander-in-Chief of the Canadian military, not of the British military. Her only position is Lord High Admiral in the British military.
Yeah, she also doesn't have any real power to...
She couldn't call Canada and say, hey,
right.
Crank up your... what do they have up there? Your Mounties. Crank up your Mounties, your Dudley Do-Rights.
She couldn't send Canadian troops into battle.
No, she couldn't send any Canadian troops into battle.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just, it's just a title she carries.
You know what? If you're going to play the role of British scholar, I want a better British scholar.
Be funnier.
Howdy, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to be on the air. Hi.
Why didn't you mean to be on the air? You called a radio show.
I'm the producer, Rob Spiewak.
This is Rob Spiewak. May I help you?
I want to let you know about Ali Zafarzadeh. He's the leading authority in the country.
Excuse me, could you take the sock out of your mouth so I could understand you? I'm Rob Spiewak, and I have a hearing problem.
Okay. Yes. I'll take the sock out right now. Okay, it's out. So...
this is one of your incredible showbiz contacts. Checking in. Is this Perez Hilton?
Is this Leonard Maltin?
No, it's not.
Hi, this is Robert Spiewak. How can I help you?
I think I have the wrong number.
No, my name is Spiewak.
No,
name Robert.
This is where Rob Spiewak works.
Okay, maybe I'll call you. I'll call you later, Robert. I think I called the wrong time.
Robert?
No, you called me at the perfect time. And how,
Robert, would you take my coat?
How did you know I'd like to be called Robert?
It's just a guess. I think it's the way you speak. There's something funny about the way you speak.
Do you have a breaking news?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Please share it with me right away.
Tell me.
You know, the Iranian president has said again today that they're not going to be complying with the UN. And they're saying all this crap left and right. And
that's not breaking news.
I know, but it's breaking news because...
No, it's not. No, that's a story from the Today Show. Probably 7 a.m. this morning. That news is already broken.
Why are you calling me Robert Spiewak with that?
I'm sorry?
You turned me on.
Yeah, I know.
What are you sorry about?
Nothing.
You said I'm sorry.
I was lying. I didn't really mean it.
You didn't what?
I didn't really mean it.
Really mean it?
Yeah, mean it.
Have you ever had a hot, wet kiss with a man named Robert?
No, I haven't. I think that's enough, so have a good one. Bye.
You showed us.
You've been spiewacked. He was fun. He's gone like the wind.
Bye!
That was Danny Diction calling.
Our new hit show, You've Been Spiewacked. Tomorrow we will debut our brand new hit show. We're trying to steal from Fox. Is Joe Ardinger smarter than a fifth grader?
You know, I saw promos for that, and as much as I'm not a Jeff Foxworthy fan, I sure like the concept.
That is going to have a very short shelf life.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be just like the one I liked that had the cops.
It's going to be white hot for a couple of weeks, though. And before they get it on the air tomorrow, we'll have 5-year-olds facing off against our own Joe.
Wow.
Oh, and
5-year-olds or fifth graders?
I'm sorry, fifth graders. Fifth graders, I'm sorry. And 10-year-olds, right. And about the TV last night. Okay, let's start our American Idol discussion.
Okay.
Mike and I almost got into it upstairs. I don't mean got into it, but we almost, we are so queer for this show.
Yep.
We really have to stop discussing. discussing it off the air because
it's like opening up a you know a pipeline and then you got to stop it before it's too late.
Yeah, you know the old saying, don't leave it in the locker room.
That's it,
because we can get into our discussions about American Idol and be very passionate about the show.
Yes,
and what happened last night. And Buzz, I just want to tell you,
yes,
you really missed out last night.
Really, what happened?
I know that. I love when you patronize.
Was it on last night? Yeah, it was on for 2 hours.
Wow. Now, here is my very quick take, and then Mike, I'd like your quick take.
Okay.
I believe the bitch fight between Ryan Seacrest and Simon Cowell was 100% real. I believe that Simon Cowell thinks that all of the male contestants suck, which I happen to agree with. As I watched that show last night, we got to the end of it, I said to Janet, I said, can you imagine you're just turning the show on? Like if I asked Buzz to turn it on and he said, out of like 30,000 people, these are the 12 most talented men, and they all really, really suck. And Simon was so very right for saying they sucked.
Right.
But it was so great because Seacrest kept saying stuff like, you're so negative, why are you so negative tonight? And then Simon Cowell said, well, if you want a lot of people, why don't you do that on your radio show?
Oh.
And then at the very end, Ryan Seacrest says, we want to thank Randy and Paula and everybody else, but he doesn't say Simon Cowell.
Right, right.
And I view it as real, 100%. They're mad at each other, and I think Simon Cowell is mad because what else is he going to say? Those guys sucked last night.
They sure did.
That's why the show is so great, because it was these two...
The chemistry?
These two fancy lads...
Uh-huh. These two dandies.
Snipping at each other.
Ryan and Simon.
You know, and it starts, I think, didn't start when Ryan Seacrest says, don't call me sweetheart.
Right.
That
was the initial move. That was the initial move.
Oh, really, it was great.
The guy who poked the bear first was
now,
Chris
now,
Klein.
Now, Rob... That's like scooping him. I'm over here waiting for my little counterpoint, and that's exactly what I was going to do. And now you're stealing my thunder here. You know, you're talking about, that's when it really got down to. Well, are you done yet? Are you finished with your?
I was leaving the Jack Osborne part for you, Mike.
The Jack Osborne. That's when it really started. When he brought up what I do believe is something that is absolutely anathema to Simon, and I don't even know about it, and that's the Teletubbies.
You know what
thing.
It is? It is the gigantic secret that nobody talks about.
That's the way I understood it. And where he appeared to be either having a stroke or chewing the side of his cheek.
Bingo.
And he was sitting there going, visibly as disturbed as I've ever seen him. And it was, I think it was following the sweetheart comment, but it was right after the fat kid who did some research on Il Divo, which is, I believe, a group that's produced by Simon Cowell.
His group of tenors. Uh-huh. So, Buzz, what happens is the fat guy, the Jack Osborne guy,
uh-huh. He says, reference to the fact that I realize I'm not part of Il Divo or Teletubbies. And the kid had obviously done real research, research to give crap to Simon.
Right. Get a nerve with Simon Cowell, and it was almost like in a boxing match where it was body blow, body blow,
right.
Body blow. And then he's sitting there going, why are you mad at me? I'm just saying the truth. And then he, at one point, just gave up on the show.
And at that point, Simon Cowell, God love him on American Idol, they go to the close-ups of him. He's chewing his cheek.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting very, very... I've never seen him look like this.
Intense.
And he's also saying, you're making this very uncomfortable. He's either... Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether he was talking to Seacrest or he was talking to the fat guy.
No, he was talking to Ryan Seacrest.
He was like, you're making this very uncomfortable. And the Teletubby thing, I think, is his Achilles heel. I really believe that's his Achilles heel. And you see,
Simon,
it was fun to watch this. I've never seen that dynamic on the show. And I agree with you. He was legitimately... If not, he wasn't furious, he was definitely thrown off balance. And he didn't recover for the rest of that show.
It's very interesting to watch someone who is so self-assured and so confident and so
he is,
just full of piss and vinegar just sit there on what I'm guessing is live TV, right? That's live last night, and just all of the lead goes out of his pencil.
And he was still
to the
wobbly
end.
Until the very
He's
end.
He's being bullied by Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Ryan Seacrest is dissing him at the end of the show, saying, thank you, Paula. Thank you, Randy.
Wow.
I'm Ryan Seacrest. Stay tuned for your local news.
And as much crap over the years as we've given to the little gnome-like Ryan Seacrest, Ryan Seacrest, I have to give him his props because he does seem to me like he is improving in the job. He is getting ballsy. He actually doesn't care. He seized on the sweetheart moment. He totally said, sweetheart, sweetheart, and he just wouldn't let it go. And it's obviously Simon Cowell doing his little British thing. Of course, that's not for you, sweetheart.
Understanding,
you know?
Yes.
And it's, and, you know, Seacrest, you know, being the DJ that he is, knows the Americana slice. Hey, sweetheart, you don't call me sweetheart here. Hey,
I'm also
about?
Watching this last night with my radio guy mentality, knowing that it's live, and at one point looking at the clock and figuring out they only had room for two more singers, and there was like 20 minutes left in the show. So when they were going to the judges for what they thought, when the fat kid was up there, what got this going was...
It's so funny, because you know America will refer to him as the fat kid.
The fact that, and this happened other times as well, they'd be done judging, and Ryan Seacrest would stand there, and I believe because they had extra time, he would then turn to the contestant and go, what do you have to say to Simon? And the contestant would go, well, I guess I should do better. And then the camera would be on Simon Cowell like, hey, I already did my bit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get the camera off me.
Yeah.
Fill
yeah.
the time somehow else.
And I just would love to
Are we
find
reading
out.
Too much into it, Buzz?
I don't know. Doesn't Ryan work for Simon?
Not really. See, I think the misconception is that Simon Cowell is one of the producers. He's really not.
It's Simon
somebody
else.
Simon
Fuller.
Simon Fuller is the producer.
Right.
Simon Cowell has certain side deals with some of these people, produces some of their records. Right?
But I've also read that Simon Cowell in real life had Ryan Seacrest. It's like a buddy-buddy, good cop, bad cop thing.
Really?
Although it seems that last night, maybe for the first time, Ryan Seacrest punched back. And then when the fat boy came out with the Teletubbies thing.
That's when he went over the edge.
That's when the great Simon Cowell's knees started to buckle.
He really seemed, hurt. He seemed very discouraged. He seemed like he didn't want that fat.
Did it make you feel bad for Simon Cowell? Because he is such a...
It made you feel bad like you would feel bad for the bully when he finally gets his comeuppance.
Uh-huh.
You always go, well, there, you really deserved it, you know, at the end. But he just, that chewing on the cheek, where
you know what?
It's very uncomfortable.
I do want to give him a little bit of credit, though. His retort, though, when the kid said, well, I guess I'm not good enough to be an El Divo or in Teletubbies, Simon Cowell says, well, you could be in the ladder.
In the ladder,
oh,
yes.
Oh, wow.
Saying the kid could be. And then the kid, the fat kid, got a little freaked out because he suddenly realized that he had pushed a button and he's like, I'm screwed.
And then the other,
I'm totally screwed. However, he's gonna waltz into the
and
final.
And he says, I'm sorry. And then the other judges say, hey, we liked you.
Oh, Paula came out of her chair when he mentioned Teletubbies. Paula absolutely was just like,
oh, yes, fantastic.
She didn't miss that moment. You know, it's a very, very well-monitored show. I think they know exactly what they're doing. And, you know, I think that the whole thing is kind of controlled, but that looked like it really bothered him.
I do believe that that was real. And I think they go
real in the sense that
in that moment.
That moment was real.
In that moment, I'm sure that they went home later that night and somebody said to somebody, God damn, that is great TV. Stupid fat disc jockeys with hemorrhoids will be talking about this tomorrow endlessly. And they go, yes, we played them again like fools, didn't we?
You know, who knows whether they do. I think that Simon and Ryan Seacrest have a good working relationship. I really do. I think it really was the kid that opened up that
between them.
Because, I mean, who knows, really? I mean, they can control those people. I don't think they go to all the contestants and say, here are the taboo subjects. When you're talking about, I think the kid, you know, Googled Simon Cowell, said, hey, this will really get to him, and laid it out there on national TV, and he caught him by surprise.
And the reason I have to stand up for Simon Cowell is on behalf of bullies everywhere. Just to say this, like most bullies, his message is true. What he was saying last night, what they would not listen to was, I am willing to give anybody here a fair review, except every single guy comes out and it's the same. I want to rock with you.
Oh, God. Who the hell would pick that song?
All night.
Just terrible.
Like, as soon as they start, you know, God, this sucks. And he's the only one that says it.
Yeah.
Although,
he comes
Randy forward. Jackson is a little more negative than he used to
be. I thought the beatbox kid had a decent performance. I thought I didn't like him going into the competition because he's got the tailored look. He's got the special image counselor, it seems like. You know, he's got the hat on. You know, he seems like he does the shopping. It looks like maybe he's got a little more money than some of the other contestants.
And then I thought later, because
he sang really well.
When I watch American Idol, I think of it like, you know, like I've mentioned before.
Football?
Right.
Is it possible that on some level, Simon Cowell last night knew
that those singers suck so bad that he would have to be so negative that anything might happen. And what he was doing was the same thing that an NFL coach will do, which is like what Bill Parcells would do. If the team is in turmoil, the coach stands up and makes an ass out of himself.
Yep.
So he takes the attention away from the team.
Could be.
Because really...
Do you think he's that magnanimous a guy? I don't think so.
I think he cares...
Yeah.
Here's where I'm really going to sound queer. I think he cares about the quality of those singers. That they're supposed to pick a good singer, and none of those boys...
But do you think he... Well, it reflects on the judges, ultimately, if they're crappy singers anyway.
Please, you're so right, Mike, because...
Do you think he caused the controversy? I have to get back to it, and this is why I went so nuts when you said that, because I think the kid that caused the controversy was the fat kid.
That
I
boy?
Think nobody... saw it coming.
Not even.
I'd really like to.
All right,
I hope they seize on Teletubbies. And what did he do with Teletubbies? Was he a producer for Teletubbies?
He was the guy behind it.
I didn't know that.
When I Googled
Pinky
it.
Pinky Winky.
Yeah, when I
and
Googled
does anybody
it.
Remember the whole gay undertones of Teletubbies?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no wonder Simon.
Hello.
Simon
Cowell. Well, I agree. Your humor's got you here.
Oh, Buzz, this is Simon talking to the fat boy.
Okay.
So the fat boy just got done singing. And like everyone else on this goddamn show, he's mediocre at best.
Okay. And I think you might be able to hear the change in tone. Here we go.
Simon Cowell?
Well, I agree. Your humor's got you here.
No, it wasn't just humor.
Yeah, I'm torn here. I'll be honest with you. Because I've got to know you. I like you very much. And I think you're a fantastic personality. Having said that, I kind of felt I was at some weird student gig. Because...
I don't even know what that
means.
It's
a student gig.
You know, it's just a lot of students, and someone gets up and sings a song. You know.
Wow.
I really am struggling tonight.
Why do they sing?
Why do they sing?
The student.
Who's asking you?
I'm asking you.
No. You do the link, sweetheart.
I'll do the link. Ryan Seacrest, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan Seacrest.
Don't call me sweetheart.
Ryan Seacrest, ladies and gentlemen, please.
Don't call me sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
We don't want that kind of relationship. I don't want that kind of relationship.
I don't want that kind of relationship.
Exactly.
Good.
We'll just work together. That's fine with me. That's okay.
Fine.
I think it's
even
plan.
Even working.
Thank you. Chris, sorry about this right now. It's about Chris Sly, not you.
Yeah, that's
Sly.
That's the point I was trying to make. The question is that, you know, like, obviously the audience is digging this kind of music is very popular right now. And
yes.
What I have to say is that just because I don't sing Il Divo or Teletubbies doesn't mean that...
Now stop it right there.
Okay, this is where he had to look like he'd been body slammed.
And that's where even someone like Buzz here can tell. He's hit a nerve. Just like if there was a secret on this show, because the people that jump up are the judges. Like, oh my God, this kid has set the gigantic, biggest Pandora's box secret of all time.
And up until that point, even when Simon says to Ryan Seacrest, hello, sweetheart, he's still got that swagger. He loses it right now.
And you know, now that we're hearing the audio again... You're right, because they could have just blown by this because they had the dumb wow. They were like ready just to transition into the next thing.
And then it gets weird.
Here we go.
Chris, you could always do the latter.
Simon, you're terrible. Chris, you're funny.
And I love you. You know that.
Chris, I like you. I just don't think it was an incredible vocal performance. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yes, sir.
It was okay.
I think you've hurt his feelings.
I'm sorry.
I think so.
Well, you've made this very uncomfortable, Ryan, now.
Ryan.
Because for once, instead of you insulting somebody else, you were insulted. No, you just made it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, hold on. This is where
he, at this point, he's chewing on his cheek.
This is where...
He's looking different. I've never seen him look this way.
This is where I did that. I made Janet analyze this. And I said, now look it. The game is called Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Uh-huh.
Simon Cowell gets, the kid says the Teletubbies thing, and Ryan Seacrest takes that moment to pile on. He could have bailed him out, but instead, he kind of piles, and it's like...
You insult me, and you know,
and
that's
like,
what everybody's thinking.
Hey, Simon, how come you're being so mean to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm Simon Cowell, I stand up and I go, hello? We don't have a goddamn show if I'm not mean to people.
Right.
If anybody has not noticed, I'm the only guy who's got half a nut on this entire panel. And he doesn't say that.
No, you can't. And instead, and then he does, and it is Ryan Seacrest who he's accusing him of. You're making this very uncomfortable. And that, I think, might be a code word for him going, hey, man, you know,
you're going,
get off of this right now.
You know what? Cool. Like, I'm willing to play with you, and this is a nice little game we have. But
this is really sucking.
You're throwing me under the bus right now because I'm saying that everybody singing sucks. And, Buzz, when you hear that, I'm curious to know your response. They say Simon Cowell is mean.
Uh-huh.
I watch that, and I hear that, and I hear him really bending over backwards trying to say, to the fat boy,
to be fair,
I think you're nice. I like you.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't a good performance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, then they start goosing him. Like, why are you being so mean?
They start worrying.
Yeah.
And the pauses are all when the camera's on Simon. And they're just leaving it on him. And it's post-teletubbies.
He's great, Buzz.
He can be mean. And I know that's one of the things America likes about Simon. But the other thing America likes about Simon is that, America believes in him, agrees with him.
Oh, yeah.
His assessment of these singers.
And really, if you took them all last night, Dom was absolutely right. It was really one of the worst overall performances I've seen. And you realize, man, these are the 12 guys? Jesus,
here's my
terrible.
Question. Will anything happen today to change this? Do you think that they met or discussed this?
No.
Will anything be different?
A juggernaut. They love this stuff.
Of course
They'll come out tonight, and they may address, like, hi, sweetheart.
Yeah, right.
You know, hello, sweetheart. How are you?
But it'll be fixed, and they'll move on.
I tell you what, if Simon Cowell is smart, he'll have a little, although I'm sure they'd have to pay for the marketing because everything is whored out on the show.
A little Teletubby?
He would have a little Teletubby sitting in front of him. Or he would give a Teletubby to Ryan Seacrest at the beginning of the show.
Sure. It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight.
Or he would just kiss Ryan Seacrest the way that Charles Barkley kissed that referee.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Full on the list.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Don's
show.
And Mike.
Howdy, yes, Don's and Mike's. What's happening?
Hey, I thought that Ryan Seacrest seemed to be oversensitive about looking gay, and I was kind of going back and forth with this with my wife. That scene where he was upset about Simon calling him sweetheart, it looked like to me he was also protesting, but before that...
You mean he doth protest too much?
Well, hasn't that been like the running undercurrent gag the whole time?
I agree with that analysis, incidentally. I think
Simon calls him queer, like, behind the scenes.
I think Ryan did overreact to that. And I mean, when you hear about what, you know, Ryan Seacrest, I mean, he's like a chick. He's
Hello.
Totally like a chick.
Don and Mike show.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey. Anyway, didn't you hear Ryan when Simon was goofing on that one kid for doing something funny with his arms, and then Ryan said something like, well, at least he's not rubbing his chest? Because, I mean,
and then they all started rubbing their boobs like when he rubbed his man boobs. Poor Simon Cowell had a kick me sign on him last night.
They were on his, and Paula, once again, very little of Paula, but when she did speak, there are two things at work. Either she is whacked out on something, or she just has literally zero command of the English language. And I think it might be a combination.
I'm starting to think it's more the latter than the former.
Yeah.
I really am.
She just can't express herself.
Because she's not like Anna Nicole.
No.
Oh,
not that bad.
Did you hear that? This is not funny. Her body is deteriorating so quickly.
They have to have it. If they're going to have a viewing.
They may not be able to, Mike.
Right. If they're going to have it, they said
she's starting to look all slippery and everything.
Didn't they say Saturday? They better have it by Saturday.
She's starting to look like she could get a guest shot on CSI.
Friday. Saturday might be too late, actually.
I heard the coroner say that she's got a little rainbow on her, like old refrigerated ham.
You just rinse that off with vinegar.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Don and Mike, you watched the end of that where... You could see right before they went to break, it looked like Simon was laughing. I think he was trying to
hold
back from
And you TiVo it a lot. I know that. He
did he
have a little bit of a grin.
Well, maybe that's like the Cheshire Cat.
That's when I said, hey, they're really not all that serious. But you know what? Really, above and beyond him being negative, he wasn't on his game last night. Simon wasn't on his game. He was negative, but he wasn't that great negative that he is when he's really got the fabulous... put down.
And that's why I love the guy, because it was a slow burn with him. As everybody came out, it's pretty obvious what they were looking for last night. It was just someone with a little personality, a little pop.
Right.
Somebody will come out with just a little goddamn excitement.
Star quality.
Everybody that came out was like, even the guy that did the Luther Vandross song that I love so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Bum, 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 bum. I can't sing. That's why I'm not on that show. Obviously, Never Too Much by Luther Vandross.
Right.
I said to Janet, here's your winner right here.
Right.
Because it started with the intro of the song.
And then he punted it.
And then as soon as he sings, it's that same, I never love nobody else.
Do you know, really, when I went back and looked at it, the guy that did Free Ride that came out first. I thought really he was better than the, but they thought they were all going to sing better.
Here's the problem with the Free Ride guy.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
He sings too white. Because
come on and take a free ride.
Every single word should not be enunciated.
No, not in that song.
Perfectly in that song.
Right. What song did John Norman sing last night? Which one did he sing?
John
was on?
He sang.
Yeah, John's on. John's one of the.
He sang the song that Simon said Chris Daugherty would have sung better last year.
Huh.
I always get that guy's name wrong.
Chris Daugherty. I started thinking about John Norman doing that, and I just laughed.
I know what it was. I think it was I could not ask for more.
It was funny.
And even he didn't work it up. Even the John Norman lookalike didn't work it up.
And I was looking at his bald head and realizing that if he grew the hair out, he would be bald on top, wouldn't he? I mean, he's one of those guys that shaves his head because he has to.
I think
not so. Because he wants to.
The vocal qualities are so weak that they've all got that. They're trying to get that Justin Timberlake sound.
Women are going to blow them out of the water. I'm saying that based on the fact that I saw a promo for it, but I think it's. I really think they're better. I think the winner this year is going to be a woman.
And then there's the one boy who does kind of look like Justin Timberlake, and did you see his big retarded father?
That's the one from Chesapeake, Virginia.
His big retarded father.
With his tomato head.
Student said, didn't he look like that guy was seriously ready to have a heart attack?
It was astonishing. His face.
Father's face.
Bright red and just, that's what that kid's going to look like when he gets a few years older.
How long do you think before that last contestant gets shipped back to Mars?
Yeah. The John Norman guy?
That bald guy, he is.
The bald guy is a strange looking dude.
I mean, really, it's like his ears are too low. But something weird about him. He doesn't look like John because John is handsome.
Nobody comes out, none of the men came out with any of this. They're all that whole like.
There's no real rocker in the group.
Middle
of the road, non-offensive milk toast.
In my hams. Right. And the other fat boy with the bad goatee.
Uh-huh.
Sundance
Head.
He hacked up a version of Knights in White Satin.
Oh, it's horrible.
The likes of which Buzz, it was like a bad acid.
Such a good song. I'm sorry to hear it butchered like that.
It really was terribly done. It was.
They were collectively horrible.
They were collectively horrible.
Well, then Simon's right.
And I produced Teletubby.
He did.
You also got to wonder, even though it's their choice of song, isn't there somebody on that show who cares at least a goddamn little bit who might say, like, for instance, to that kid, hey, pal, you know, maybe this is your one shot to make it.
Uh-huh.
Knights in White Satin, maybe not the best song for you to tackle tonight.
Mm-hmm. See, I bet they do that later in the game. I think early in the game they probably give them enough rope to hang themselves.
I agree. I think they throw them to the wolves, Buzz. I really
later,
do.
As they progress, as they do better, then they might get some guidance, I
The expect. Mountain is high.
And the Indian kid.
The valley is low.
The Indian kid with the woman's hair. You know, she's a little Indian boy.
Johnny Quest's friend.
Haji was terrible last night.
He was.
And Haji is like a... He's like a New Delhi version of Michael Jackson. He really is.
He looked like...
Carla couldn't stop saying he's Michael Jackson reincarnated.
No, he's not. Like, you know what he looks like? He looks like one of the DeFranco family. Really, if you think back in the day...
Yes. Tony DeFranco.
Yes, that's...
Little Tony DeFranco.
Tony DeFranco.
Same kind of hair. Same kind of hair. But just disturbing. Tonight, I think it's going to be much more entertaining. And, you know, and that's why they have fights like that, so people will watch.
Sure, yeah. It works.
It's on again tonight?
Yeah, it's on every night. You're right, Rob's just right. That kid looks like a brown Osmond. That is right on.
So he's different, then.
But he does look like...
He is different, Buzz, yeah.
He does look like Donny Osmond if Donny Osmond was like, raised in Peru.
Uh-huh. Right. Or Bangladesh.
There's room for that.
Yeah, right.
You know. There, with you over there. I'd like to sing a song for you. Here's the song that I'd like to sing right now.
Oh, for goodness
sake. If you win the American Idol, I will give you a sacred cow.
You do not know what you're missing.
Apparently not. I have some idea now. Though.
Thank God I didn't give that show up for Lent. I don't think it's too late in the day.
You like it even more than I do now because I was telling you I fast forward through some of the performances.
No.
When they start with the... I'm like, ugh, enough. Let me get right to the judging. It was because some of the performances were so bad, so boring, so lame,
right,
that I just wanted to get right to the...
I agree. That's what kills me. I think the songs are too long. I like the judging. I don't like the singing.
They're 90 seconds of song.
90 seconds of my life that I want back.
That's right. It's too long.
Sometimes. 90 seconds, for goodness sake. When we come back, Let's pick this up with Lent, please.
All right.
Because it's not too late in the day, and I'm having some true debates about this.
Oh, Lent?
About Lent. First off, it's too late for me to give up J-O-ing, because
right.
I already did that today.
Okay.
But I do have a list of a couple of other things, because I'm not pissed at God anymore, and I'm thinking about getting into the whole Lent thing. But the list of things that I'm looking at giving up, I don't think so.
Why do you feel you need to give up something?
Because I've found in the past it's good.
You
get a good feeling
okay.
if it is something truly that you think, like, I'll tell you what I'm thinking about,
mm-hmm.
is booze. That, right. And not because I think I drink too much,
right.
because I think if I didn't drink for like, and this is like, I couldn't do it 40 days because, well, we're going to be on vacation in like 35 days. Right. I was looking at a calendar today. It's like, I can't not drink on vacation.
No.
So I might do it. I think one year Mike had a modified plan of like 30 days.
He used to always do it till St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
He used to take the month of March off until St. Patrick's Day.
I'm thinking
really
about it.
Not taking the month off. It's more taking 17 days off.
Well, hold on a second. What is today? Today is February what?
21st.
Well, then I would go till March 21st. I'm thinking that I could probably just lose 10 pounds so that I can't get into a goddamn NASCAR golf shirt. That's why I'm thinking of it. And Buzz, that's the answer. That I'm pretty sure if I didn't drink for a month that I'd lose 10 pounds like that.
Okay.
And I'd feel good about that at the end of the month.
I get that.
But
I usually quit drinking this time of year.
But I've not committed to it yet.
Good for you.
Because
I'm not going to do that for Lent, though.
Because booze is a little too important to me, maybe.
I understand.
Yeah, I don't have to make that decision until I get home tonight.
I still have the bruises. From where I fell as a Catholic. That's the word would be fallen Catholic.
Some will never heal.
Yeah. I can't give up American Idol. And I can't give up Madden. I can't.
No.
So it's like, and I already pleasured myself today.
So did you ever give that up for Lent?
Madden?
No, was
the other
pleasuring.
Oh, no, please don't be ridiculous.
Have you never done that before?
Please don't be ridiculous.
And you've given up booze before.
Yeah. No, there's no way I could. And I would.
You've given up cigars before, haven't you?
Yes.
For Lent?
Yep. And I tried to give up swearing as well for Lent.
Right.
Put a dollar in the jar every time I dropped an F or an S. Something like that.
Uh-huh. You're starting to motivate me a little bit.
Well, don't be motivated because I'm just...
This is not a Lent thing.
It's simply a talking point with me.
This is based on Saturday night.
I'm all talk and no action. Hell, I may go home tonight and drink a huge bottle of booze and smoke a cigar and go out on the deck and pleasure myself
while
I'm playing Madden.
Is that all there is?
What do you mean, is that all
I think
is?
I'm going to give up cosmetics.
On behalf of everyone in the studio, please don't.
New and improved Joker product.
Please don't. All right, we will pick this up if we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The most used line in that song was, "I don't want to bore you with this." And it was, without question, the most dreary performance we've had all night. Honestly, Sandra, half the band were asleep during it. It was... honestly, I mean, how long did that last? A minute and a half. It sounded like an hour. There was absolutely nothing that came from that for me. You know what? For me, that's what I call a waste of time performance because there was nothing I could take from that.
This show is just almost over. Hip, way to be. And that's it, folks.
The show is great.
Hey, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
There he is. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
They try to help you. Don't go to hell. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
The show's going to be funny.
Yeah. It sure will be.
I like him.
This show is going to be with all the personations of this guy you know, this good lady you know. I'm Julia Child.
Oh no. All right, well, it's almost over.
This show is just almost over. Hip, hip, hooray to me.
So, you want to see it?
Oh, yeah.
You want to touch it?
Oh, who are you?
That's Chris Hansen, Mike.
It looks huge.
It doesn't sound like him.
It's just the voice.
So, you want to see it?
Yeah, that's not the same guy.
Oh, that's not Chris Hansen.
Oh. Want to touch it?
Chris Hansen. Much deeper voice than Chris Hansen.
Oh, hold on. Here's Chris Hansen.
Holding each other. Feeling all over.
That's him.
You want to see it?
That's not Chris Hansen.
Sounds
but
close to him.
Holding each other. Feeling all over.
But that is Chris Hansen.
Let me show you some moves.
I'm stupid.
Who's that? Is that the cook?
That's somebody from Dateline, I guess.
That was a victim.
That's a victim.
Ah. I'm stupid.
And what happened to the guy that's got the cooking show? There's the vinyl pants being put on. That's what.
No!
Yeah.
Johnny!
Johnny!
Welcome!
Welcome.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
I'm addicted to this guy.
And that's it, folks.
That's it, folks. I can't get enough of him.
German.
That's the cat from Cable Access. We've never even really gotten to his entire cooking show.
No.
Well, hi, everybody.
Seems friendly.
Well, he is very friendly. I like him, and I have not seen the show.
No, nor have I.
We've got that tape. We've also got the 50s tape about the trouble with women.
Oh, you talked about that yesterday. You gave a little tease for that one.
We've not gotten to it. That guy's name, this guy right here.
Well, hi, everybody.
He's on YouTube. Merrill Howard Kalin is his name.
Merrill Howard Kalin.
Has a cable access cooking show.
Very nice.
And, we also have this commercial that we talked about yesterday.
Oh, a featured sponsor, I think you said.
Yeah. And it has to do with something that I will not be giving up for Lund, which is number 3.
That's right.
He's already took care of that project today.
Very good.
Can't give that up for Lund. Yesterday during a commercial.
No, tell me you didn't.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I have, but not in this building.
All right.
During a commercial, Mike and I were listening to the feed of the spots that run on WJFK here at our station in D.C. And one of the commercials was for a sperm bank. And when we have a client like this, and the spot, incidentally, is voiced by Johnny Sperm, Johnny Sperm Norman, our producer.
Now, if you play any of this spot, we won't charge the client anymore. This is what we like to do for new clients when we spotlight them on the show.
Absolutely, Mike. It is time for 30 seconds of free nationwide advertising.
As we welcome a brand new advertiser to the Don and Mike Show.
Let's be proud.
Guys, are you a college graduate or a college student? Do you want to earn up to $1,500 per month in your spare time while helping others? Then consider becoming a sperm donor. Fairfax Cryobank, the world leader in providing anonymous donor sperm, is seeking healthy men 18 to 39 to be donors.
I'm sorry, I had to stop at $1,500. How many times a day?
Pretty good money.
How many times a day?
You and I are out. We don't get to do it. We can't do it. We're too old. 39.
I have the sperm of a 39-year-old man.
I do, too.
Fake ID.
I don't think it's fair. I think it's fixed.
Fake ID.
Fake ID. You and I got another.
If selected, you'll earn extra money while anonymously helping others. Find out if you qualify to be a sperm donor.
And I love that come on, if you pardon the pun.
Yeah.
You'll be helping others. Well, I guess that's what they eventually... They don't make them into popsicles.
Well, they're looking for, I guess, college students.
That's what they said.
Or college graduates.
Huh? For more information or to apply, go to 123donate.com. That's 123donate.com.
Does it say that every time you donate, you get $1,500?
It says you can make $1,500 a week.
Ah.
And then I sat and really worked it.
You know what? Who cares how hard you have to work?
Imagine,
especially if you're a college student.
Scream all you want.
But imagine you go into that sperm bank. And as it turns out, the little jar you get is from this guy.
Well, hi, everybody.
Because maybe at one point he was in college. Right?
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back.
How about Johnny?
Johnny.
What about Joe?
Joe.
And the sound Mike likes?
No, that's not the one.
No?
Hey, let me first say, I like all of them. There's just one I like.
There it is.
That is the best one right there. Incidentally, that's the sound of everybody after they're done donating. That is
nearly done.
Now,
that would not be to be confused with this one.
So good.
Very similar, though. He seems...
so good.
He seems to have a similar way of showing his audience that he's finished cooking.
so good.
$1,500 for you. $1,500 for you. $1,500 for you. $1,500 for you.
Jesus, I'm thinking back to my days at AU. We would have lived down there on Thursday and Friday.
They'll go broke.
It looks huge.
$1,500 for you. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, great show, guys. Wondering if you guys knew I was watching a show on E! The other day about stars and what they did before they made it big and whatnot.
That was almost a deliberate whatnot.
Well, he's out of there.
Why whatnot?
I was
on... not so good.
whatever it is, entertainment.com during the break. Simon Cowell, as it turns out, like in the Google search that I did, was not the founder of Teletubbies, but was one of the guys that bankrolled it and believed in
right.
it. And if you do a very thorough search, you can find an article that I read during the break. Is it in the London Sun? Is that the paper? It's a quote, whatever it is, it's
London
a quote
Times,
saying,
yeah.
It's a part of his career that he likes to keep quiet.
Ah, good.
Right.
So that was the real dig that he put in there, that he bankrolled Teletubbies.
Well, but you know what's weird? I mean, Teletubbies probably made him a fortune, I would think. I mean, made him a small
like
fortune.
Everything makes that guy a fortune.
I mean, the guy's got the golden touch, so it was a
fruity little kids program.
He produced their Christmas album, which was a huge hit in England.
Really?
So,
oh, okay.
That's where that
And he doesn't from. Like to talk about it. Well, that backs up what we were saying before.
And spotlight on Fairfax Cryobank.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sperm people.
Let's give them a nice round of applause. We thank you for your patronage. We truly do.
Just when we thought there was no client that had been untapped.
Yeah.
Out there. No revenue stream, so to speak.
So to speak, yeah.
Right. No revenue stream.
Right.
That had been opened up. They found a way to tap the main vein.
Kudos to those jerks over at the station.
You got to hand it to them.
You really do.
Hello, Donna Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
It's quite a job they have.
Yeah.
It's a hands-on job.
Yeah, indeed.
Hello, Don and Mike show. You can make a video about it.
Several.
You can make a series of them. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, howdy. Hey, the one little soundbite I think you might add on to that is Little Richard from the Geico commercial.
Which one?
Hi, Joe.
That's a good collection.
Oh, look out.
I don't know.
He
got what he wanted.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Howdy.
I had no idea I could make this much money. I think I'm going to have to change careers. All these years, I've been throwing out the tissues and washing...
Okay.
That's right. You know what that is? That's money down the drain, my friend.
It certainly is.
Money down the drain.
Wow.
Well, things are happening on our website. Things are hopping and happening on our website at DonandMikeWebsite.com.
What's new?
Please, we're just getting a lot of people calling saying that I'm getting the old website.
Oh,
and John wants to remind everybody again to refresh your browser and type in DonandMikeWebsite.com. And yes, there is finally the grazing area for the great unwashed, our very own message board.
Yes, I took a peek at it today, and we will be looking at what people have to say, and it is, whether you like it or not, moderated.
Yeah, and I hope that everybody that listens to the show will just deal with that.
Yes.
Now, the internet is a wild west out there, and if you want to read crap, go to any other site.
Right.
On our site, the posts will be moderated.
Mm-hmm.
We do hope to have posts up within, 3 or 4 hours, if we can.
Very good.
But I mean... So go ahead.
And it looks great, and it's much easier to navigate the website now, so I think you're going to enjoy it.
And there's a lot of stuff, like I said, that we're going to finally try to address fixing, like our affiliates list, to get that up to date, because our affiliates list is much better than the one that's on the website. Our bios, not that anybody cares. They were mainly, from Wikipedia.
Right.
As far as I could tell, when I looked at them, the only one who had been written by anybody who actually worked here was Rob, because... For God's sake, it looked like he invented the radio. It's incredible. Like, 5-page thing about Rob Spiewak.
Too much?
Well, here's how I knew you wrote it.
What did you write it, Rob? Did you write your own?
I did not.
You didn't write your own?
I did not.
Oh, please.
Really?
Please.
I promise you.
Huh. You didn't.
Who did?
Who wrote that?
I don't know. Mark Twain, I think.
You're so lying.
No, I swear on anything you tell me.
Johnny, did you write it? John, would you bring us a copy of Rob's thing?
Who wrote the
I got rid of it. I took it down.
Well, don't we have it somewhere? We'll go back to Wikipedia and just get it.
Maybe it's on Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought, isn't that where Craig said that he got it from originally?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I think
it was from Wikipedia. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't write that either.
it reeks of you.
I know.
It reeks of you.
All I know is the part that I read online that said I was, when Candace Bushnell came into the studio, I was embarrassed about being fat. I don't remember saying that.
That's not pleasant.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't want that in my biography.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I don't like being fat, but I wasn't embarrassed.
Now that I wrote.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, what's up, Don? What's up, Mike? Hey. This is Charles from D.C.
Yes, hey, Charles.
Hey, how y'all doing up there? You
very well.
Good?
Yeah, everything's good, Charles.
What's happening?
Oh, man, Don, I got the perfect thing to actually help you with your lint problem.
Help with what problem?
Your lint problem.
Lint. Oh, yes. What to give up for lint? What, my friend?
I would think about it. You don't have to give up alcohol, but certain brands of alcohol, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need to burn, like, say you want to stop drinking, like, 40s or something like that, man.
Or you just give up Hennessy or something like that.
Yeah, man.
Hey, hold on a second. I just figured something out. You're a Negro. I love talking to the black man.
So what are the... But you only drink one thing, isn't that right? You only drink...
Morning, noon, and night, Mike.
You drink vodka.
Vodka, yeah.
So if you to give up vodka, you might as well give up drinking.
Yeah. All right, thank you, though, Charles.
Ah, man, trying to help you out, man.
Bye-bye.
You can give up the 40s.
Peace out.
You know what? I got it.
What's that?
I'm going to give up dessert wines.
Too bad he hung up, Charles. Come on and take a free ride.
Charles.
Come on and take me by your side. Come on and take a free ride.
Thank you.
Johnny?
Got the bio?
Yep, we do. Rob Spiewak.
Okay. Hell of a guy.
This is what was on our website.
Okay.
For Rob's bio.
Right.
Rob Spiewak is the third man on the nationally syndicated Dynamite American radio program. He produces, writes, and is a frequent on-air contributor. Let the fissure end. Spiewak started out as a caller to the Don and Mike show, often calling in as Jimmy Stewart. While a college student at Virginia Commonwealth University, Spiewak became an intern on the show and took ritual abuse. His ultimate nickname came from a stunt he pulled in his early years on the show. While wearing a 52 double D bra, Spiewak stood on one of the local D.C. bridges yelling, "Look at me, I'm Rob Bay." Don Geronimo claims Spiewak was the original danger boy of radio. Spiewak performed many behind-the-scenes tasks for the Don and Mike show, eventually becoming the official producer of the show before setting to its current role as the Maury Amsterdam / Richard Deacon of the show. He spent weekends working as a radio DJ at one of Don and Mike's FM affiliates, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, blah, blah. Here we go. Spiewak is always introduced during the opening of the show with an a cappella jingle that sings his name. The jingle was created by Jam Creative Productions.
That's a lot of information.
Jam. That is a tremendous amount.
Very detailed.
Here's the tell for Rob. Rob is horny for one thing in this studio only.
Rob Spiewak.
He loves it. I can't tell you how many times a story comes up in the news and he'll come over and point like, "Hey, hit my thing." Or you pull up your name shout.
Or the shout, too. Yeah.
Or your shout. See, now look how fast he is finding
it. He knows where that is.
See, look at that. See, there it is. Hold on.
Oh, it's not there.
It's in this one.
Is it?
I think so.
You knew that.
Rob Spiewak.
He knew that. Yeah, there it is.
Rob Spiewak.
Both three.
Hey, Rob, I saw the way you pretended not to know where it was.
I don't know what I can do to prove this to you guys. I really don't.
Hold on a second.
Never contributed anything to Wikipedia. I've read that. I think it's kind of creepy, some of the stuff that's in there.
So all that stuff comes from Wikipedia.
That's not from you.
No. You didn't get
it. Where does that originate from me? How does it...
Listeners, like, they just... Anyone can submit anything to Wikipedia, right? Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe you. I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't believe you. It just, you read the thing and
this is my burden to bear.
It reads like you wrote it yourself Because, well, here's the thing. First off, it makes you out as being the third man on the show.
Now, you know that I would never write that.
Oh, please.
I would think it, but I wouldn't write it.
I know you think it. Second, the thing about the jingle from Jam Creative Productions. You're like
that's,
me.
That's kind of detail that, that's what that said to me that shocked me.
You're a jingle freak.
Yeah, but,
and you are so goddamn hot to have your name jingle played on the show. You really are.
I am. But that's just some creepy person or some delightful person.
Well, how do we is there any way of finding out who might have penned that?
Spiewak is married, Carrie, two children, Julia and Robert Jr.
Aha, that's an error.
Devoted to...
He's the third.
Devoted to old TV, quality beer, and Elvis. While Spiewak's true lineage is shrouded in mystery, several internet websites allude to his 1/8 Jewish and Aztec heritage. I mean, this reads like you having a six-pack and writing this.
It really Aztec? Does. Not,
I've never heard Aztec.
Nicknames.
Cherokee is what it is.
Nicknames. Rabe.
You would have gotten that.
Robert Wadham Spiewak. Brain. Head. Jimmy Stewart. Bobo. Ass. Kong. Bad Monkey. Jackie the Joke Man.
Interesting. Well, we have to find the source, then. We have to...
Wonder who's writing?
We have to get our little divining
rod. Oh,
please don't play those. I would wager money that whoever wrote it is listening now. So please call in. Because
I want to say hi to Sharon.
Oh, my mom wrote it?
Your mom.
Your mom.
That's interesting. Because that does sound like it came out of your brain.
It does.
It was either your mom or maybe it was Brad.
Brad might have done it. That's true. That
John,
like
John, can
right.
you offer any insight on this as far as...
I have no idea. I mean, I saw it up there, and I have no idea where it came
from. But they came... Well, where did we get them to put... I guess the guy...
Craig got them from Wikipedia.
Okay. Oh, you got them from Wikipedia?
Yeah.
So I did not write it.
So you
said... And I know not who wrote it.
You know who I think wrote it?
Who?
Oh, this guy?
Well, hi, everybody!
There you go. Hello, Don and Mike show. I didn't know which one was. I got so many machines, Mike.
Hey, I'm sorry to bother you. I have a dumb question. I'm wondering.
The show is great.
Okay, what's up?
I'm trying to get into the new website, and I thought they just said to hit your refresh. I'm into the old one.
No. Just retype into your browser donandmikewebsite.com. Just retype the
whole thing. You have to do it, and then you have to bookmark it again. If it's on your favorites, you know, sometimes it won't get. It worked on my favorites. I actually just. You know, hit the new one and it was there.
I didn't have to refresh. Yeah.
So you just hit down on Mike.
Website.com.
Just type it. Just type
it's like not the original. Refresh. So you actually have to write the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just type it in the top line.
Okay, well, I'll do it. I'll have to do eliminate it from my favorites first, though. Otherwise, I'll come up the same.
But before you do that, you have to go through eBay.
eBay?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Okay. I got to say, what the hell?
Yeah, right.
Okay. I thank you, sir.
So bye-bye. Good.
See you later.
Bye-bye. This show is almost over.
No.
Hip, hip, way to be.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Rob A. didn't write it because there's no mention of his microphone collection.
Ah, that's right. It would be in there, wouldn't it?
You're right about that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. That guy.
What was that, Robin?
I must edit.
Hello there.
Idol.
What? Hello.
The guy who did Free Ride last night on American Idol.
Yes.
He makes Pat Boone sound like the late James Brown.
Not really a joke. The guy's just trying to be like Jerry Seinfeld.
What is your first name, sir?
Oh, he's gone like the wind.
I know. Say it's Perry. It'll be Randy, Paula, and Perry.
Not a Mike show. Hello.
Hey, I just have one argument with Rob's bio there.
Sure.
He can't be the Maury Amsterdam of the show unless Mike wants to be Laura Petrie. He's got to be Richard Deacon.
Richard Deacon.
That was that's Mel Cooley.
That was Mel Cooley.
Maury Amsterdam was the writer.
Yeah, he's the funny writer.
Right. Buddy Sorrell.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm Rosemary.
Hello. I got news for you, Buzz.
Uh-huh.
You're Mary Tyler Moore.
Ah, hey, thank you.
Hi. Yeah. Welcome to my marital bed.
Like my caprice.
The marriage bed.
The marriage bed.
Regis says, the marriage bed. Hello, Don and Mike show.
And
if we're...
that's it. You're out of there.
Uh-huh. If we're doing the Dick Van Dyke show and roles we want to be, please, I want to be Jerry Helper.
Only because you get to bang Millie.
Millie Helper.
Millie Helper.
Millie Helper.
Pretty name.
I'm Jerry Helper, the dentist.
Don't forget his brother, Hamburger.
Hamburger.
hamburger helper. Hello.
Of course, I'm the brother. I'm Dick's brother.
Hey,
he comes to visit occasionally.
Jerry Van Dyke. Oh, don't start that whole thing again. Hello.
Jay Van Dyke.
Don and Mike. Hello there.
Hey, I think this Rob bio sounds like one of the anal retentive things B.A. might have done in her heyday.
You know, that does sound a little B.A.
Writing that out and kind of screwing up the facts like he's an Aztec when in fact he's a Cherokee.
You know, that's a very good analysis. I think really there is a lot of B.A. there.
She may have, but somebody's updated it if they mentioned the Fishers.
Hold on, let's go to Yanni. Yanni.
Just found the history of the person who posted all that stuff. No, actually not. They started it. Unless he's got something about a history of a guy named Sambigo Bangura.
All right, that's one of his screen names.
Right, yeah. Yeah. One of his, and then he's got posts on Mike, Ron and Fez, Don, JFK, more Ron and Fez, and something about Anchorage, Alaska. So I'd say it does not smack of Rob.
I think that's the guy that said... sang the Stevie Wonder song last night, wasn't it? The Little Indian Boy?
Haji. He's the little Indian boy. Well, you're off the hook, boy.
Well, I appreciate it, and I thank the Alaskan native who thinks so highly of me. Get the thing in about the microphone, though.
It's an Alaskan guy that did it?
Yes. All right.
Well, there's stuff that one of the first posts is about Alaskan history.
Interesting.
By this guy, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you, John.
It's kind of strange to think that there are people out there that we don't know that know all that about us.
That's why I'm always amazed when someone says, well, I read it on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Like it's true. Because, Buzz, didn't you just say that they've already changed it?
No. The one you read mentioned the Fishers. And if this biography was written some time ago, then they wouldn't have had the part about the Fishers.
Oh, you know, that's right, because your ass has only started to explode like in the last month, right?
And it's not Fishers. It's colitis.
See, he would have that.
Come on,
fellas.
Ulcers,
in fact, he does have that.
Hold on, you know, I'm sorry, I doubt it.
Yeah,
it was the jingle thing.
You know what? It's eerie to hear you read it.
That is your tell, though. The jingle thing is your tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And who would know that? Because no one knows how many times during the show you come over, and you're like, my name jingles right here.
I only bat about 200 on that day.
Hello,
worth
Don,
it.
Don and Mike, hello.
Radio gods.
Howdy.
Don, how's your coolie?
It's warm. How is yours?
It is itchy.
Itchy.
Rob,
yeah.
You are the Bruce Valanche of the show.
I've always fancied myself very Valanche.
Oh, it's nice. Sometimes he's the center square.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Wasn't he the center square when Whoopi wouldn't be there?
I think so.
Yep. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Howdy.
Hey, Don and Mike. How's the show going? You're so funny.
I think he may have been doing an impression of our food guy.
This may actually be some positive feedback from our audience on these tapes.
You got to love that guy. You really do.
Is that what you're doing?
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone bad. Like the wind.
He's gone.
This show is almost over. Hip, hip, hooray to me.
Show's great.
This show is great.
He's making chicken.
Yeah.
So good.
Look, you know what? When we come back, we'll either do The Trouble with Women from the
1950s.
Or, oh, God, we still haven't talked about Lent.
Right.
Oh, hold on. Scratch all of that. When we come back, it's time for Where Are They Now?
Oh, goody gumdrop.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
My dad was a circus freak, but my mom don't remember which one. I like to think it was a little bit of all of them.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hi, everybody.
Caution, retards in area.
Well.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, no.
Well, that's it for now.
And that's it, folks.
Now, we're going to do a segment called Where Are They Now?
Where Are They Now?
But first, intruding just a little bit because she can't leave well enough alone, here's my smart girlfriend, Janet. Hey, Jan.
Hi there.
Hi, sweetie. Now, I was talking to her during the break, and she mentioned that she happened to be in the automobile. Happy to catch the beginning of the show.
You were talking about her a little bit.
Conversation about the Queen. Right. And She is here to tell everybody that she believes she is still right. Really. Go ahead, Jan.
See, now you're putting me in an unfair advantage.
Well, good then. That's good for you if I put you in an unfair advantage.
To win.
No,
do you mean an unfair disadvantage?
Thank you. What I said was accurate because I was having lunch with two people that I work with at the company that I work with.
Yeah.
And
were they British?
No, but one of them has lived in Spain, and they said that England has the same type of monarchy as Spain does.
Honey.
And they said a very similar, because I brought it up that you thought were calling me Mary Poppins this morning, and you call me Gidget when I do silly things like that. And when I was explaining to them my thought process, the one lady who has lived abroad said, you're actually pretty on track with that because a very similar thing happened in Spain.
Jan, listen.
Where
Tony Blair.
What?
Tony Blair what? Go ahead, Tony Blair.
If you like, she was explaining it to me, and I really wasn't paying attention because I didn't realize you were going to call me out on this.
You called me out on it off the air. In real life, you said to me, hey, incidentally, I heard you talking about that. And I talked to some friends of mine today, and they say that, listen, here's what Janet said, if you're just tuning in. She said to me today, oh, I know why Britain's pulling out of Iraq. And I said, why? And she said, because Queen Elizabeth ordered Tony Blair to pull the troops out of Iraq so Harry wouldn't be put in danger. And I said to her, woman, are you serious? You're daft that the Queen don't make any decisions about what goes on in England.
Now, get ready to hear me roar.
All right.
If you'll recall, on real news stations, not like the tabloid news stations, as we were watching real news stations this weekend,
yes,
they mentioned that the only person that can stop this is the Queen herself because she is in charge of...
The only
of,
person that can stop
is,
what?
Harry going to Iraq is the Queen herself because they themselves, it wasn't my idea, they're the ones that said she is the commander-in-chief of the military.
I think you might be partially right. I think she could prevent anybody from going overseas.
Mike, thank you. This was and hold on. Thanks, Mike. I don't mean to jump in here.
Okay.
This was the crux of my argument with Jenna this morning.
She could probably say, you know, I'm going to get a royal pardon or something like that.
Jan, did I say that to you this morning? Did I say the hole in your argument was not that I, your hole. The hole was not the fact that she maybe could call up and say, don't send my boy to Iraq, but that she would cancel the entire war
because Prince Harry
was going to go over there.
They probably have been looking for a way to get out of that mess. And what the...
Please don't tell me you really think this. Please, this is like...
Well, we can clear this up with a phone call. We're here in Washington, D.C. Why doesn't somebody call the British Embassy?
Because, Mike, we're so right about this.
Well, but we're right, but we're not right with any detail.
Buzz,
four years ago...
Hold on, Jan.
Who's the one that lived in Spain? And she was very clear on this. And that's what I'm saying. At lunch, I didn't realize...
So now we're listening to a Spaniard.
...take mental notes about the whole reasoning why she agreed with what I was saying, because I didn't realize you were going to talk about this this afternoon.
All right, sweetie.
4 years ago, the veil of mystery surrounding the royal prerogative was lifted. That prerogative includes the power to declare war, handed from monarchs to ministers, and allows them to take action without the backing of Parliament.
But you said the veil was lifted. Does that mean that they now put it out in the open that this is the way it works?
As of 4 years ago.
Say, repeat what you just said.
All right. The veil of mystery surrounding the royal prerogative was lifted 4 years ago when a list was published to encourage greater transparency in British government. The prerogative, which includes the power to declare war, is handed from monarchs to ministers and allows them to take action without the backing of Parliament.
So are you saying my girlfriend is right about this?
She's right.
If that certainly sounds that way.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Buzz.
I'll give you a special kiss the next time I see you.
What?
Thank you. You are the true newsman that you've been.
Bye, Mary Poppins. Bye. You're still so wrong about that. You're still so wrong that she's calling off the war, sweetie. Because just to get one guy from going to the front line.
But, Jesus.
Did he?
Well, hold on, though.
It's time.
I mean,
you
if he's saying that the royal prerogative, if the royal prerogative means she can declare war, then she can also end a war.
That's right.
Or end the British participation with, if she can do that without permission of Parliament.
That's what it says here. Yes,
I don't believe that.
And
you mean to tell me that some
Spain has set up the same same way. Because yeah. something similar happened in Spain, and the monarch in charge of Spain said, get out, and they got out.
You mean of Iran? Because they were in Iran, Iraq also.
I don't know if it was Iran. It was a different
I'm sorry, Iraq. I misspoke. Iraq.
Same difference.
Right. I don't know. I don't think it was Iraq, but I know that because she was very clear on it, because I believe when it happened, she spent a lot of time living in Spain, and that's why when I said that, she's like, yeah. you know, you're right.
Okay. Maybe I you know, I stand by the fact that you're not right.
I'm smarter
I'd
than
like, you
than
know,
anything.
I still would like more clarification.
I preface this by saying I think you're a very smart woman. I just couldn't believe that you were saying that.
But I also think that is not a prerogative that is used in the real world, and it's not used in present day England. I don't think monarchs in present times neither declare war nor pull us out of wars. I don't think that happens. I don't think that's realistic anymore.
Give me one chance to ask her one question in front of everybody.
What?
Even if you're right about this technical issue, do you really still think that the Queen called Tony Blair and said, because Harry wants to go to the front, take the entire British army out of Iraq? Is that what you really think?
I think that she didn't want her grandson going to war, and she has enough...
Janet, will you please give me a yes or no on that?
I'm explaining that. Is
no,
yes.
no, no, no. Jan?
I think they were probably looking for a reason to get it out, and everything blended and melted together. You know what? Tony Blair probably said, you know, everyone who is the powers to be to make these decisions got together, and I think...
Well, Tony Blair has already come out and given his reasons for
Jan. All the way around.
Jan, well, you know what? Now she's like nonstop talking.
I'm sorry. Janet?
I'll stop.
So am I.
Janet, I think Tony Blair has already come out and given his reasons that for the British pullout, and they did not involve anything to do with Harry or the Queen.
Of course they're not going to do that, because he even said that he did not want to be singled out and he didn't want to be given...
So you still believe... Hold on,
I'm quite sure that he's very unhappy about this, because he even said he did not want to be given...
This is my girlfriend, everybody. You believe that the British pulled out of Iraq today because the Queen ordered Tony Blair to because... She didn't want Harry to get hurt?
Yes.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. You think that.
Okay, fine.
Hold on, honey.
Bye, Ben.
Hold on.
Off
of
the hairball.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, Lordy.
All right, sweetie. Well, stick by your guns. Stand by your man. Stick by your guns.
And Janet, absolutely. I really would welcome like more information on this if you come by it. You know,
I will send when I get back to my computer. I will send my friend an email and say she can forward the information on.
All right, sweetie. Good enough. I'll see you
tonight.
And then
you'll have it in writing from a different source.
Okay. Spain.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
I'll see you tonight. All right. Bye, honey.
Okay, bye.
Bye, friend. There she is.
We are going to get a workout with that Tom Hanks sound effect. That is getting better every day.
I was just trying to set her up just to say,
I know.
Do you think? Because that's really what she thinks.
She does.
I know she does. I know she does. She thinks the Queen ordered them out of Iraq because of Harry.
Oh, wow.
Let me see.
Well, I hope we get more info on that.
I'm sure we will. Oh, it's time for Where Are They Now?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. And here's today's Where Are They Now setup. An email we received, Dear Don and Mike, hi, my name is Matt, and I owe you $100.
Huh.
Here are the facts. I've been a faithful listener to the Don and Mike show for 13 years. In 1994, I won $100 during an on-air contest in which listeners found their best story about a body part of the day. My story simply kicked ass, and I won $100. I used to listen from work in Sacramento. At that time, I won my prize. I was slightly underage, and I was high on drugs. As part of a 12-step program I'm now participating in,
that's true.
I must make amends to the people I have hurt. And any ill-regotten rewards I have been privy to, I must return. That is why I'm writing this email. My sponsor is a total dick. To complete this step, I need to know how to pay you back. Please let me know. I now live in Portland, Oregon.
It's a good sponsor.
Here
it's a good sponsor making him go all the way
here
with it.
Matt,
Hello, Matt.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hello, friend. Well, we received your missive. You're on the 12-step program.
Matt, are you supposed to say that about your sponsor? Isn't that normally a bad idea, or is it just what they do out in Sacramento rehab?
He's actually in Portland now, but the guy has got this airtight interpretation of the rules and the values.
That's right.
And so there's no getting around that for me.
All right, so let me see. Way back in 1994, you won $100.
Wow.
And you lied. Sir. And what would you like to say to Mike and I? Or Mike and me, excuse me.
I'd like to just beg forgiveness, I guess, from the radio gods.
I say no.
I'm afraid I have to agree with you. No, you're not forgiven. That's inexcusable.
Back to the pipe.
Yeah, there's just no way we can forgive you for that. With inflation, it's well
really
over $100. We are still so hurt by any listener, not only lying to us, but then collecting our money. Borders on criminal.
Go tell your sponsor that.
Wonder what the statute of limitation is on that.
Do you want to know what I did with the money?
I'd like to know what was your drug of choice?
Some pot and some cocaine.
Uh-huh. Pot and cocaine. What did you do with the money?
I bought a tremendous bag of ganja.
A nice bag of weed.
Bought marijuana after lying to us.
Yeah.
What do they say in that program that you're supposed to apologize and ask for return the money and then it makes it all better?
That's a lie.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell your sponsor we said to pound sand.
Yeah. There's no way that we forgive you. See what airtight does with that.
Forever. Bye.
Take care.
I'm going to go get high now.
Bye-bye.
See what you've done. See what you've done.
Hey, as Don will tell you, right is right.
And it's time for a double dose of Where Are They Now?
Very good.
Also joining us, back from nearly qualifying for the Daytona 500, Here is James Hilton. Remember, we had this gentleman on the show about 3 weeks ago.
James, everybody was pulling for you. You almost did it, too, didn't you?
Well, I tell you what, we got so close, and it broke my heart there. That caution came out at about 5 laps to go or whatever it was, and took my chance away. But I feel bad about all the people that were pulling for me. I was sure at that point that I was going to be in the show, and then I feel like I let the people down.
Well, you really should, because really you were a great story. Everybody dug it, really.
I'm sure you're aware of this, but while you were racing, while you were qualifying for the Daytona 500, we had someone call, and in my mind, jinx you, because they called and said they were watching it on Speed Channel, and that with 5 or 7 laps to go, you had the last spot locked up, and we weren't watching it, so we immediately thought, very cool, and as it turns out, I think...
I didn't know there was a caution in his qualifier. I didn't know that happened.
Didn't I read that, going into the third or fourth turn, that you... What happened, James? It wasn't that you didn't punch it when you should have punched it, and you backed off instead of being aggressive, or...
What happened?
What happened?
No, really, I had clutch problems from, the start of the race, and got half lap back, got a caution, and made pit stop, and the clutch caused me to get out of my pit lane there, and they penalized me one lap down.
Oh, boy.
And then things worked out where I got the lap back, got back on the lead lap, and then by the strategy from my crew chief, James Hilton Jr., who happens to be my son.
There you go.
Told me to stay out there, Dad, and I did, and wound up running second. And then I got locked in real good, running eighth, and I was the eighth car in line, had a car behind me, and we were there. And then on the restart, with that clutch problem I had, I couldn't speed shift to get. They'd pull me about 2 car lengths on the start, and then the cat that was behind me abandoned me, hung me out to dry, and I know you heard about the freight train. The freight train lined up.
Yeah, everybody went by you.
Everybody went by you.
Is there a chance you're going to do it next year?
Well, I'm not done yet.
I like that. Races this year.
I love that.
The reason that everybody is so fascinated with Jim is the fact that he's over 70 years old. He's out there driving these cars at incredible speeds. What was the top speed you got at during your qualifying for the Daytona?
Well, we was down in the practice session, and we were on 185.4, and then qualifying, we was a little off, and we run 179, I believe, qualifying, which got us into the 150. But the draft makes all the difference in the world, and once I got in the draft, I was good.
And you are headed to Talladega next, correct?
Right. My next race is in April at Talladega. And the Rebel rides again, because I'm gonna get them back. They will not be freight train to me anymore.
Oh, that's the right attitude. Yeah. I love you still got the eye of the tiger. That's fantastic.
James is trying to get together with you before Talladega, and we wish you good luck. And do you still have your sponsor? Do you want to plug your sponsor?
Yes, it's your J.C. Weaver, and living retirement living. TV people.
Oh, so they got that. Is that a new sponsor for you, Retirement Living? Did they pick up on that, or were they with you all along?
They were in the car.
No, they came on board at Daytona,
uh-huh.
And that really made the difference. You know, let us run first class, and it showed.
All right, there good stuff.
Go. There he is, everybody. James Hilton, almost qualified for the Daytona. Yeah. Rob Spiewak, who is the gearhead of our group, says that you should drive an automatic next time.
Well, not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. And we're going to be following you really closely, James, and we appreciate you calling us.
Thank you very much for having me on the program. Hey. And I thank all the seniors out there, and all the people, even the little, after qualifying, little kiddies out there, you know, 4 or 5 years old wanting autographs. So I really had a lot of people pulling for me.
And Jim, if I could ask you one last question that has nothing to do with racing.
Okay.
You know how the government of Britain is set up? Hold on. This is a serious question. Do you believe that the Queen of England has the power to control the British Army?
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right. Everybody's agreeing with your girlfriend.
Get her done.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Jim.
Get her done, James.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
What the hell was that?
Yep.
It's kind of a laugh.
I think he's gone. Is he okay?
He's gone.
What the hell was that at the end there?
That was a weird...
Your reaction. That's, we need... We don't do replay... Are we replay capable on this?
There it is.
Something there.
His thing made me laugh.
There was
God
something
damn.
There at the very, very end, and I'm not sure exactly what it was.
All right. Well, there you go, James Hilton. Thank you to the 12-step guy, mm-hmm. And thank you to Jan, who I guess... thanks, Buzz.
I still...
Thanks for helping me out on that.
Hold on a second. Now, listen, I still think we need more information on
that. You know,
because really, what's going to happen is you're going to find out that practically, with practicality, that doesn't happen. She doesn't say, excuse me, Tony, I really don't care for America. Send a warship over to Boston Harbor.
Aren't they 100% like the family on Dynasty or the Ewings?
No.
Aren't they 100%?
No, not quite. From a procedural standpoint, there's a lot of stuff they still have to do.
Yeah, for a bill to become law, the Queen has to agree to it or give assent, as they say over there.
Give assent?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's still... You know what it is? It's like she can still be a pain in the ass. Like, if she starts to lose it...
Right.
She could probably screw things
she
up a little.
She could be trouble. Yeah.
She's got that much power.
Well, then, gosh, if you're listening, Janet, you know, what can I say? Poison my food tonight. I was 100% wrong. Jesus Christ.
And, you know, as soon as James Hilton agreed, and then he went,
I
hope he's all right at the end.
I think he's fine. I think he was laughing.
Right? I was walking around the kitchen to my girlfriend saying, I can't believe this is your chosen field and that you don't know this. I'm a stupid disc jockey, but even I know that you... Look at me and said, I am dead serious.
Yeah, she is.
Well, but they're not going to come out and say that the British pulled out of Iraq because of the Queen and Prince Harry. That's not going to happen.
They won't say that, ever.
They won't, because that's
still funny.
Funny. They won't say that because that's a funny concept.
That's why James Hilton was laughing at us.
Hi, everybody. This is the news. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, Johnny.
Johnny.
everybody.
That was the Queen of England.
We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Austin, I'd like you to meet somebody. This is my mother, Mrs. Exposition.
How do you do?
God, man, what have you done?
That's not your mother, it's a man, baby.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, as long as you're on the topic.
Anglin can kiss my ass.
Right.
Consummate, unprofessional, Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. The show's going to be funny.
The show will be funny.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
No, about another hour.
This show is almost over.
No, not really. That's not accurate either.
Halfway. Who's your favorite on the show?
Johnny.
Johnny. Who else do you like?
Joe!
It's a funny show.
The show's going to be funny!
Love that guy.
Well, I've seen the lines ring, and then the lines are answered, and then the lines ring, and then we go on the air for commercials, and we go off the air for commercials, and I think we had like a gazillion people calling about the Queen of England thing, sure. And I am sure that once we change the topic,
right,
they'll all call back.
Of course.
So while we wait for them to call back, in my opinion, the biggest news story of the day,
yes,
is not Britney going back to rehab.
No.
It ain't Jennifer Aniston's boobs being taken by Paris Hilton.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The biggest news is the failure already of the Van Halen reunion tour.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Now, did I kind of predict that? We had almost like a pool. I said they'd make it through the summer. What'd you guys say?
I don't know. Rob, you're normally in charge of that. Do you remember?
It was unofficial. It wasn't documented.
Here is the deal. Oh, hold on.
God, I wish I didn't kill so many brain cells.
What did I tell you? Here come all the Queen of England calls.
England can kiss my ass.
They write a note. Van Halen. We'll talk about them next. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio God.
Howdy.
Don, I just want to let you know about your girlfriend. You can take this for what it's worth, but Rush Limbaugh actually floated that idea about the Queen today on his show.
Well, listen, I'll take it for what it's worth. She is a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. I mean, there is
You think she got it from that kind of a story? I mean, from one of the right-wing, you know, talking points?
No, she got it from her own right-wing brain.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not surprised if it's something that... It was said by Rush Limbaugh. Now, I'm not saying this would put my girlfriend down.
No, the queen. Oh, my God, that's painful.
I do believe a lot of the things that Rush Limbaugh says she would probably agree with.
Right.
Politically.
Politically, she would. And, you know, if he's floating that story around, maybe a lot of people are talking about it.
I wonder how Rush's suppositories are.
Well, suppositories. The queen, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. As I remove the suppository, I'm going to tell you that what I believe is true is that the queen did not want Harry to be in combat.
Hmm.
There you have it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio God. Howdy.
We're doing great, though.
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Hey, Don, a couple of questions you can ask Janet. You.
All right, what's that?
You can ask Janet, which one of the Queen's sons served in the Falkland Island War? Which one of the Queen's sons served in Bosnia? And if a troop reduction, not a troop pullout. So technically, Williams can still go, but they'll probably keep him in.
Well, it's Harry, not William.
I have a question for you, sir. Why this constant persecution of the man I believe to be the brightest president we've ever had, the brightest sitting president? I'm talking, of course, about George W. Bush.
Well, we're trying to set the low standard of the bell curve. So
now there you are again. That was liberal left-wing propaganda just coming from the left and just impugning the integrity of a great man.
Your suppository is coming out.
Oh, my God. I need a cool cloth, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I love the Don and Mike Show.
Jeff Christie.
Will you sign a picture for my gal pal?
Yeah, of course I will. I'd love to. Janet Best Rush.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hi there, and Mike. We're all here.
Hi. You might want to tell Janet that basically the Queen of England's a figurehead. She's not. She's a constitutional monarch.
Sir, now isn't this exactly the discussion that
where we started?
We've had for most of the show today.
May I interject right now?
Yes, Rich.
Foreign policy, foreign diplomatic representatives in London are accredited to the Queen, and she has the power to conclude treaties, to declare war, to make peace, to recognize foreign states and governments, and to annex and cede territory, and to help me with my suppositories due to my weak tissue. Thank you. Thank you very much.
How many suppositories can you handle at once?
Yeah, currently, there are 11 where they need to be. Uh-huh. Without sparing your listening audience the details of my weak tissue, I have 11. I have been known to use, if they're blue ones, 83. 83, very comfortably. Of course, they melt on contact. On contact with warm skin.
Melt with your hot flesh.
They, on contact, the blue ones melt quickly on contact with warm tissue.
Not in my show.
Thank you. I'm out.
Hello.
Speak to us, please.
John and Mike show, hello.
Hello, Rush Limbaugh.
No.
Well, hi, everybody.
Stop here.
You're gonna, yeah, well, you ruin our fun when you call and you want to do a Rush Limbaugh bit.
11 wonderful Rush Limbaugh suppositories and 3 cooling O'Reilly wipes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
If the Queen of England married Larry King, what would her name be?
Oh, let's not start this again, please. Please.
Okay, I apologize.
Let's not start this again, please. Because, like, Mike is laughing now.
Oh, my God. Queen King.
Okay.
Not bad.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That's hot.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You need to check your paper. When you can entertain Rush, check your paper.
Oh, the guy is giving you some direction. If you're going to do Rush, and he's right, although, you know, who cares, he does do that a lot.
Check the paper? I have it right here. That's my paper. That's my suppository paper. Wrapping paper for huge Brazil nut-sized suppository.
Wow.
Delightful, massive, as big as a cicada. That's mine. I get them XL and double XL in Rush size. I said, no need for the little ones. There won't be a problem with me. I want them Nathan's hot dog size.
Oh, no.
Thank you, challenged cook.
And that's it, folks.
That's it, folks. Thank you. He tires of me.
Don Mike's show. Come on, if you don't talk, he will.
There he is again.
Mm-hmm. Hello, hi, everybody.
Well, hi. Everybody.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's happening?
Don, just wanted to give you a heads up on one of your restaurants you'd like to eat at down here in Ocean City.
Ocean City, Maryland? Yes, sir. What about it?
The Blue Ox Steakhouse. Saturday night, we actually managed to serve a customer a dead mouse in a glass of ice water. Swear to God.
Now, hold on a second.
Now really. Do you work there?
Yes, I do.
Is he talking, is there a real place?
There is. I've mentioned it on the air. Or maybe I haven't mentioned it, but I do go there.
What's your source of information? Is it in a newspaper?
No, I work there.
You work there.
What's your name?
I had this happen Saturday night while during our dinner rush.
Did you get fired?
The server has not yet been fired.
Did you get fired?
Amazing.
What's your name, dude?
Not yet.
Would I get fired?
No, what's your name, dude?
My name's Mike.
And you work there?
What's your last initial, Mike?
F.
Oh, hey. Why would you be calling about a place you work at and sharing this?
I just know that you like to eat there. This makes no sense.
Yeah,
And I do like to eat at that restaurant, but it seems to me that you're committing restaurant suicide if you're calling saying that the joint you work at.
And we have no evidence if it's not, you know, we have no evidence this
how
is
do
true.
You, how do you accidentally serve a glass of mouse? You can see the mouse in the glass if there is one.
This is what has got us all shocked, Buzz.
No, hold on. I think you're lying. I think you're either a disgruntled employee or...
No.
No?
I'm not disgruntled. No, I just it will get out. It hasn't gotten out.
It will get out.
I think it might.
And you're alleging
well,
that
I guess
you,
now it does, but you know,
you're alleging that you work there and that you think that you're going to be able to. If this is all on the level, you think
yeah, this is all alleged, yeah, especially from this.
You
guy,
think
yeah,
you're going to keep your job when they find out you called the show to say that they allegedly served a mouse in a glass?
Hey, they've did it. It's going to get out eventually. I guess it has now, but it's going to hit the papers down here at some point.
Why would you want to accelerate that process?
Hey, can you hold? I promise that we will not throw you under the bus and give out your real name on the radio. I promise.
Sure.
But if you'll hold on, give your last name to John. Just hold. Let me put you on hold.
We're
going to
take you off the air first.
Hold on, please.
Sure.
There's a laugh of the retarded.
The laugh of the guilty. The laugh of the liar. That's the laugh of a man that's really amused right here.
Hey, what happened? He hang up? Oh, he hung up.
Yeah, okay.
He hung up.
That's BS.
You know what? I think I owed a free meal there, though, because I kind of stood up for them.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Absolutely. I like the Blue Ox on Coastal Highway in Ocean City, Maryland.
Very good.
It's a nice place. And every time that I've had mouse, I've asked for it.
Absolutely. And it's the best, isn't it?
Oh, I have mouse Marzki, and my God, is that tender. You want to talk about tender pink steak?
Such a great flavor. A little gamey, but it's, a, you know, it's wild. It's field mouse.
The mouse Marzki, that sort of tastes a little bit like feet.
I worked there. I worked there, and I just thought it'd be a really good idea because I know you eat there.
It's going to get out in the paper because we accidentally served a mouse in a glass.
Wouldn't you love to know the real story behind that? Wouldn't you love to know the guy's real motivation?
That's insane. Hello, John and Mike.
Oh, my God.
The radio's up way too loud.
Okay.
No, not okay.
No. What's up?
I need to get laid. Can you help me?
No.
Help me.
Charity begins at home, sir.
I need to get laid.
Go to the sperm bank.
I'm 3,073 miles from Ocean City, Maryland. Can you lay me?
He is calling from Sacramento, Mike, because they have a sign that says 3,000. You're close to Sacramento, aren't you?
I'm calling from Richmond, California right now. Can you lay me?
How close is, use your real voice, how close is Richmond from Sacramento?
Richmond is about...
Oh, I'm sorry. I asked you distinctly to use your real voice.
Yes,
you
he did not.
You wouldn't play right.
Welcome back to the show. Oh, no.
I know. I felt the same way about a Sacramento caller.
We got to hit a break here.
The show's going to be funny.
Oh, it sure will.
Of course it will.
Okay, when we come back... Oh, the Van Halen thing.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
So the deal with this is that, you know, they're getting back together. They kicked Michael Anthony out,
mm-hmm,
and it's the two Van Halen brothers.
Right.
And it's Wolfgang Van Halen.
Travis Van Halen.
And it's David Lee Roth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this was announced,
yeah,
and I know on my computer, I even have... it came with a computer, a little like Rolling Stone magazine icon.
Did Eddie celebrate the reunion with a drink?
Well, I know that when 2 days ago when I clicked on the little Rolling Stone icon on the top of my toolbar,
mm-hmm,
I got a picture of the reunited Van Halen.
Oh, yeah.
And Eddie looked like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Yeah, Eddie is just looking worse and worse.
And Wolfie looks like Valerie Bertinelli.
Mm-hmm. Really?
The drummer looks like Imus. And then in the middle of all of that, you had David Lee Roth.
Who looks like Witchy Poo?
He's the best looking of the gang.
Oh, my God. Really?
Best looking of the gang. And I was really debating how much of an abortion it would be to go and try to watch this show. Because I'm a Van Halen fan.
Sure.
And it is already blown up and gone. They didn't get on the road. They didn't do one gig. They did not do a practice. They didn't do... I take it back. Maybe they did a couple of practice sessions.
Was there any reason given for the breakup? Was it an Eddie factor?
I think
I said it might be an Eddie factor. He is not in the best shape.
Sort of. I think his girlfriend had more to do with it.
Eddie's girlfriend?
Yeah, the porn star. Former porn star.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. And anyway, now we're just on the Rolling Stone site, and now they're saying that... Van Halen might as well change their name to Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Wow.
So
no Van Halen this summer.
No, that's too bad. Even though it probably would have sucked ass, it would have been good, at least maybe for one song, like mm-hmm, Hot for Teacher or Jump.
Hey, I sure hope Sammy Hagar goes on the road, though.
You know, I mean, because, I mean, I still enjoy him. I really
He went on the road with Michael Anthony last year, and they did Van Halen's song.
Yeah, they did a great job, too. They did the Van Hagar.
Yeah, the thing about Van Halen, though, is really on a lot of those songs, you got to have Edward playing the guitar.
You do, and he's and nobody can argue with his virtuosic. Is that what it is?
Because we heard Sammy Hagar
do a
bunch of Van Halen songs, and they were really good, except when you get to the part that has like a and it just paled by comparison.
And didn't Eddie do some keyboard work too on the
on Jump?
And also on a lot of the songs on OU812. I think he did a lot of that keyboard stuff for them.
It started with the 1984 album.
Because
I do remember when Jump came out, some of my, I guess the best word now would be homophobic friends, when that song came out, they said, oh my God, Van Halen put out a disco record, and they're using synthesizers, and Eddie's playing the organ.
They sold out, man.
They sucked! Van Halen sucked! And around the same time, he was on Beat It.
Right.
With Michael Jackson.
Oh, that's right. Came out at the same time.
There's like so many of my good friends with black T-shirts and big chains hanging from their wallets screamed that Van Halen was dead.
Now no Van Halen.
No Van Halen.
That sucks.
Yes,
yeah.
It does.
Even as a, even as a curiosity, I will. I know. It's sad.
Who's not sad about that?
Johnny.
Johnny's not sad.
Who is sad about that?
Joe
is. Yes, he is.
What do you think of the show?
The show is great.
Nice. Do we have to hit a break?
This show is almost over. Hip, way to be.
I love him. I truly do.
You want to hear some more of him when we get back?
I could hear him for three hours. That makes me an idiot, but I'd like to hear him.
Do you want
to
hear him in Contact?
I'd like to really hear him in Contact.
Actually doing his retarded cooking show?
I think he's going to be around for a long time, so we might as well get to know him a little bit.
All right. He will fascinate you. His name is Merrill Howard Kalina.
All right. What is it?
I think it's Kalen.
Kalen?
Okay.
Merrill Howard Kalen Van Halen.
Same difference. He's on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
He's a chef. He's a celebrity chef with a cooking show.
Very good.
This show is going to be with all the personations of this guy, you know, this good lady, you know. I'm Julia Child. So I'm making those, my bananas, cut them up skinny all like. And you know who else is here next to me? It's Frank Gourmet.
Hi, everybody. I'm Frank Gourmet. This show is about how to cook, how to make bananas into small pieces for the Jell-O.
For the Jell-O?
For the Jell-O.
He's doing some real cooking, I guess.
Uh-huh.
How to make bananas into small pieces.
We'll dive into him when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The most used line in that song was, I don't want to bore you with this. And it was, without question, the most dreary performance we've had all night. Honestly, Sandra, half the band were asleep during it. It was, honestly, I mean, how long did that last? A minute and a half, it sounded like an hour. There was absolutely nothing that came from that for me. You know what? For me, that's what I call a waste of time performance, because there's nothing I could take from that.
The show's gonna be funny.
How are you doing, Joe?
Da 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 da
life-altering herpetic sore.
That's for sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, hi, everybody.
Oh, man, everybody. I don't... Is this almost over?
This show is almost over.
Almost.
This show's going to be fun, man. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, no. There it is.
Well, hi, everybody.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And we thank you very hard.
Thank you, Tim.
Now, I'm thinking that perhaps I gave up those tapes for Lent.
I don't think you can.
You think you're, do you feel like you're getting it out of your system today a little bit?
Well, it's not only me. I mean, yeah. Are you eating it up with a spoon?
I don't know who's liking it more, me or Tom Hanks.
We all addicted to this guy.
Well, hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the show.
I'm terrible.
How are you doing, Joe?
I mean, there are shows that we do that are like this that I will be listening to myself, and I will turn it up if I ever hear this on tape. I shouldn't say that, but it's the truth.
Okay.
It's a combination of everything today.
For Lent.
Tim and...
Johnny. And guess who else is here?
Who?
Jimmy Stewart. Well, I'm Jimmy Stewart. I'm showing you how to cut apples.
Apples.
Welcome.
Oh, he's delightful. He is truly delightful.
We're not going to give up those tapes for Lent.
I didn't think so.
Because even with the Chris Hansen tapes, we ran those in the ground. But
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
They got a life of their own.
They still, you know, they're a little less popular than they used to be, but they're still there.
This boy's the hottest right now.
Well, hi, everybody.
You know, about those Hansen tapes, did you watch the Predator program last night?
No, I didn't get
it. Again, why do they put it on against American Idol?
It was excellent. A guy shot himself.
What?
A guy shot himself.
Like on the show?
Well, you only heard it described, but when he was a...
Did he kill himself?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The police wait outside Conrad's home about 45 minutes until the tactical team arrives. There's still no sign of Conrad. The officers line up in formation and head to the back of the house. Then we hear a faint crack. The officers force their way in. For almost 5 minutes, we don't see or hear anything. Then Lieutenant Adana Barber of the Murphy Police Department comes out and tells us what happened.
Well, hi, everybody.
Good start.
Well, I wanted to hear what she said.
How are you doing, Joe?
Not the lieutenant. That's not the lieutenant for the police.
As they made entry, they confronted the suspect. I believe he's in the hallway, and he told them he wasn't going to hurt them, and then shot himself again.
And he had a pistol in his hand.
Small caliber.
It was a devastating tragedy, a shock to all of us when the 56-year-old, a man who has prosecuted criminals for more than 2 decades, shot himself.
Wow.
Well, hi, everybody.
I like rape.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to...
So they throw that on... God, I hate that. I mean, I'd like to see that on a separate night.
I don't want to overestimate the power of the Don and Mike Show, but since you had Chris Hansen on most recently...
Yeah.
He doesn't say the incriminating things like, I like rape anymore. Now they have actors saying them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I got you. So, for instance.
Remember, you played him those tapes.
Here we go, like this one. Yes.
So, you want to see it?
That's from Dateline.
Right. You want to touch it?
That's from Dateline.
That's an actor.
I'm stupid.
That's from Dateline.
Holding each other. Feeling all over.
That's Chris Hansen.
That's like the sexiest thing we got last night.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So I really think that you've steered him a little bit.
This was a prosecutor?
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
How are you doing, Joe?
Oh, God.
Lent.
Wow.
Yes. Listen, Lent.
You're not giving those tapes up for Lent.
No. But I was having this thought with myself. That
most of the thoughts you have are with yourself, don't you think?
That's right. That's
that's right. That's when you make the expression. So I said to myself, self.
It reminds me when I was a kid. Maybe, why do I remember this? Maybe the dumbest thing that I ever said when I was a kid, and I thought it was the greatest revelation of all time. We were getting in the car to go downtown. We lived in Rockville, Maryland. So very close to where we broadcast from now.
Right.
I had to be like 9 years old, maybe a little younger. We were going to go downtown to D.C. for some reason, for some monument that was opening back. This is like 1968. And I remember getting in the car and my father saying something like, "There, we will be making no stops to go to the bathroom, no stops to get anything to drink. So whatever you have to do, do it now. That's it." And I remember getting in the back of the car and saying to my father, "Dad, I've just figured this out. We don't have to stop at a water fountain or stop to get anything to drink because I have a water fountain inside my throat." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "For instance, when I get thirsty, I just go like this. I've just quenched my thirst with my own spit."
Ah, yes.
And then
what did your dad say to that? Because I know he was always encouraging. He was always encouraging with your youthful exuberance.
It was something like, "It's called spit, you damn dummy." And I remember to this day, and now that I think about it, younger than 10, because this is when Batman was on TV, so maybe like 1966. I remember I was crushed by this because I thought I was saying something to my father
profound.
That was like,
that was brilliant.
"Hey, Dad, I'm with you. I've discovered this thing in my throat when I'm thirsty. I just
discovered
swallow.
That I don't need water anymore.
I just swallow." Anyway, what an ass he was.
It was a very disappointing moment.
He
for
liked
you.
Teaching you. Perhaps for Linda, I'll give up thinking about them.
That would be a good story.
My parents.
That's hard to do, to give up thinking about something.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Lent. I kind of get into it, and I kind of don't. I was religious, then I wasn't religious. Now I'm like half on the religious thing again. But it's not really a religious thing. I just think maybe it's not a bad thing to do, to give up something that you really like, and maybe it's bad for you, and maybe you, you know, can make yourself better. And I don't mean in that goddamn Oprah way. I mean, like, you know, lose some weight or something.
Like self-discipline, really.
Yes.
It does come at a great time. I've always thought that Lent, you know, giving things up this particular time of year, you know, it's right before spring. It's a good time to give stuff up.
So, here are my choices.
Not that I'm going to do it.
Here are my choices.
All right.
Booze, Madden, or cigars?
Yeah, I think Madden. I think Madden is a cop-out.
You don't know how much I play it.
Really?
I swear to God.
How often you do? I really don't, so tell me how often you do.
Every
you play
day?
It daily?
Every day.
You play it daily?
Every day.
All right, then it's a real vice.
I mean, it is my...
Then it's a really true... Then it is a vice.
You know what it is? It is my true addiction. It
See,
is...
I don't play video games nearly as much as you do, so that is a vice. That,
and God...
I take back the cop-out that's equal to cigars.
And God forbid that I'm online playing with someone, and the phone rings, and Janet comes in the room with the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, first off... I'm playing against some booger eater online. You know, first of all, I'm online. Second, get out of here with that telephone because the whatever the in that phone the.
I also think Madden to give up Madden if you play it every night, if you play it every day, it would be excruciating for you to give that up this time of year. This is the time in between everything.
No,
you can't do stuff outside.
For me, it would be a big one. And I guess what I was trying to explain with the phone is when you walk into the room with a wireless phone, if it's on the same frequency as the router for the Xbox Live, it can screw up the whole thing.
There's
even though we have phones
right.
that now are compatible with that, mm-hmm. I still overreact and tell anybody around me to get away. So it's either Xbox Live. Yeah, and it's really, you know, it's got to be Xbox Live because Madden, here's the cop-out. Madden is the gateway.
The gateway drug, yeah.
To Xbox Live.
Right.
However, I am guilty of playing NBA 2K7 online.
Mm-hmm.
I am guilty of playing NASCAR online. I am guilty of playing Halo online.
Well, if you give
and
up...
I'm guilty of playing the game where you go into the mall and you kill people and throw them through the windows of shopping centers.
Don't you think that if you give up anything, you just should give up video games?
That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe
so, a blanket.
Xbox. Total.
They all sound
complete.
Pretty tough. Or booze or cigars. The thing about Xbox, though, if you...
Xbox makes me sound like such a pussy, though.
Yeah, but if you give up Xbox, you're talking about the redeeming thing. There's no real benefit.
Well, no, here is the redeeming thing. That for at least an hour a day, I'm not sitting on my ass, zoning out, playing a stupid game.
It's good for your mind, your reflexes. Yeah, but I mean, if you give up booze or cigars, there's a direct health benefit.
Yes.
What if the time you spent playing Madden during Lent you spent in prayer.
How about you don't say something that makes the beverage come out of my nose?
I'm serious, Jack.
That's funny. I know.
Spent it in prayer. Spent it in prayer.
Uh-huh. Ah, screw it. I got no willpower. Maybe I won't give up anything. I'll let there you know you tomorrow.
Go. I got
there
till tonight. Go.
That's the way I'm looking at it. I've got until tonight. I've not had a drink today. And how about that?
I've not had a drink yet.
Real progress. Yeah, that's right, because it was Fat Tuesday. Today's the beginning of Lent. If you're going to give up anything, have you played Madden?
I have not. Yeah. I have not. The only thing I did today, I played with myself.
You know that the other thing.
And I mean, I got my jerk off.
You've had a cigar.
You are right, sir, because there's a cigar in this. So cigars are off the list. That means it's either booze or Xbox. Games.
Those are the two.
Or nothing.
I think we may have discussed this in the past, but I don't remember what the resolution was. Isn't there some sort of modified Lent where you get to do it on Sundays for the 40 days?
I don't know.
That's a cheat code that we had talked about. I don't mean
is that like Vatican II or something?
It might have been in one of your watered down versions. You know, it might have been
like my crazy Methodism.
Yeah, the crazy Methodism.
Nutty.
The splinter cells. You know, from the real one that you practice.
Hey, that's a good game too.
What's that?
Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell is a very good game.
That is who's the dude with the Clear and Present? Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy's got that. I think they've got a brand new one now. They've got a bunch of I saw the. I was in Target.
Yeah.
And I saw. I think it's PlayStation 3. And not the Wii, you know, the one the lady died for, but the PlayStation 3, and the graphics are pretty terrific.
Better than Xbox?
Oh, much better than Xbox.
Really?
Yeah, in my opinion. It was a little motorcycle game, and it looked amazing. When I walked by, I thought that I was seeing a freeze frame of a real,
See, somebody said that to me about PlayStation, because I saw the NBA game.
PlayStation's graphics were pretty terrific.
I saw the NBA game on PlayStation 3, and it really looks like you're watching a game on TV, mm-hmm. And then somebody said to me, just buy NBA 2K7 for Xbox, and it looks exactly and it does.
It's the same stuff?
In that case, it looks exactly the same.
But, you know, also, don't those... I don't know enough about it, but don't those game prices come down rather dramatically after about 6 months to a year?
Yeah. I think now you can buy Madden, like, for $20.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a seasonal thing.
But I'm talking about the game systems, like PlayStation 3, which... I think it was like $599.
Oh, it still is.
And it was there in Target. I'm like, after a certain period of time, that's going to come down. Probably 2016.
Yeah, just after a couple of years. I mean, Xbox, when it came out, was, I think, $500, and now it's maybe... Is it still around $500, maybe?
It probably is.
Price will go down when they come out with the next thing. Yeah, the next version.
They still sell PS2.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Correctamundo. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you. You mentioned Booger Eater, and I was wondering if you guys seen the YouTube video of the congressman eating his booger on C-SPAN.
No.
Hold on.
Give it to John. Maybe we'll put it up, slap it up on the top of our website.
Say that again?
Hold on and give it to John. If it's a good video, we'll slap it up on the front of our website.
I will.
All right, thank you. Hello.
On C-SPAN, no less.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, there's definitely a Lent cheat code in some Catholic churches where if you give up something during Lent, you can have it on Sundays.
Interesting. Right, I heard that.
Really?
I wouldn't do that, though. It's all or nothing for me, and right now, you know, the odds are pointing towards nothing. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio God.
Howdy.
Hey, you know, giving up alcohol for Lent is a bad deal because the greatest holiday in the forever falls right in the middle, and that's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, well, that is a concession that I guess I'd be willing to make up.
A buddy of mine used to always go from right about a Valentine's Day through St. Patrick's Day. Uh-huh. It's kind of a modified Lent. I mean, if you're taking the religion out of it and actually making it just a good time of year to give something up, you know, and in past years, I've given up booze from about Valentine's Day through St. Patrick's Day, but I blew that with my good friend in Atlantic City this weekend. But I still think it might be a good idea. If I got enough peer group pressure, I would bag the hooch until March 17th.
Hello, Donna Mike. We'll do it on your own if you want.
Might just do it for kicks.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, was the game you were talking about throwing people through the windows? Are you talking about Dead Rising, zombie game?
Yes, I guess. You know, that's the one thing I'm retarded like that. I don't know the name of this game. It is, and I don't like shooting.
Isn't that the one where people go to the mall?
Yes, it is. It is.
That's not Dead Rising, but there's another one where you land at the on the mall. Don't you land on the mall in a helicopter?
Yeah, I wish I knew the name of it because I play it almost every other day, mm-hmm. at least for a couple of seconds. just to throw someone through a window.
Right. It's fun. Now, those are the kind I like to play. The death and dismemberment.
How can I give up that? Jesus doesn't want me to give that up.
No. Gives me a great deal of pleasure.
Hello, Don, my show.
You can do it on Sundays.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
I just want to let you know why it's okay to skip Sundays in Lent, because when you count the 40 days in Lent, you start from Ash Wednesday, and Sundays aren't counted. So that's why that's
oh, really?
The way out.
Is that true, that if you take out Sundays, it's 40 days?
God's
that's
loophole.
Right. When you count your 40 days in Lent, you don't count Sundays.
So technically, you could include cigars then.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's
game one day a week, though.
But if you prostitutes.
No, I'm saying you could count. Because of that 40-day rule, you had a cigar already today, it wouldn't matter. You could start. You've got a total, like a long number of days, 4 days or so, five days.
I've already decided I don't want to give up the cigars.
Okay.
So it's down to either booze or Xbox or another. Yes, yeah, Yanni.
How about giving up stuff for Lent? That's much easier.
I did that 1 year already. I really think I did. I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass about this anyway. Because I'll probably go home tonight, smoke a cigar, get drunk,
have sex
on my Xbox.
I'm going to give something up. I decide this is a good one. I like this. You've motivated me.
Okay, what?
I'm going to give up wiping.
Oh. Well, hi, everybody.
So did he. Not a popular choice. Now, that could be, wiping down counters,
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, no.
I know exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the show.
Okay. Let's hit a break here.
Because
goddamn, it's almost news time, and we never even heard the tapes of the chef, and all the phones are ringing.
They're ringing. They've been ringing all day ever since the Queen.
Ring ding.
The phones are ringing.
Welcome.
Oh man.
Welcome.
I am wiped.
This show is almost over. Hip, hip, way to be.
You got that right, Emerald.
Okay, who do you like?
Johnny.
Who don't you like?
How are you doing, Joe?
All right, we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Shut up!
The Don and Mike Show.
Is that video up on our website now, Johnny? I think we were just... hold on a second.
The mayors of Boner City.
Hi.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
The booger eating thing, is that up on the website?
Absolutely.
It is.
Click on video clips link. It's the first one you'll see.
It is priceless. It is all the way. And, he's right in back of the guy that's talking, and he goes mining for gold. And then, does that casual move, that slight move right to the mouth.
So there you go, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Click on the
video clips.
Video clips. And you'll see the clip that the guy was just talking about with the congressman eating a booger.
Is the Anna Nicole one still on there?
For the clown makeup?
The clown makeup.
Yes, it sure is.
Wow.
And our brand new message board is up that has an awful lot of people around town talking.
Hmm.
A lot of people saying that maybe they're not going to be getting the attention on their boards, but they used to.
People are talking, Don.
Well, sure are, Mike.
Indeed, they are.
It's internet chatter. Internet chatter. www.lolroflimho.
Just remember, we're not looking for any rabble rousers. We're just looking for some nice ladies and gentlemen.
Well, hi, everybody.
Let's meet this fella. This fella's name escapes me now.
Oh, it's Caleb.
He's one of the three name people.
Yes. Yeah,
something
like Mark David Kalin or something like that. Or
we've been intrigued with him in little snippets, but now we get to hear a little more sustained.
Here he is with his public access cooking show.
Live from Little City Studios in Palatine, Illinois, it's the Merrill Howard Kalin Show with the host and star of the show, the great gourmet himself, Merrill Kalin.
Welcome. Hi, this is the Merrill Howard Kalin Show, and I am the host.
is Merrill Howard Kalin.
See, Merrill Howard Kalin. Right. Three-name person.
Wonderful.
And so for tonight is how to cook chicken.
Chicken.
Here we go.
The topic is how to cook chicken.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Howard.
The first thing is we got chicken here.
Merrill.
On the
I'm
table.
Sorry. Merrill Howard.
Merrill first Howard Kalin.
We're going to teach you how to take the skin off the chicken. That's how you do it. You take the chicken.
You're listening to the father of Banana Nicole Smith's Baby.
This could be the best thing.
He's taking the skin
Tear
off
the
now.
Skin off.
Merrill Howard K. Stern.
Tear the skin off. And like this. Then you see it was okay. There's no fat on. Make sure it's no fat on the chicken.
No fat on the chicken.
You know why?
Sounds like he's cooking healthy.
It's no good.
Oh. Right, Merrill.
Next thing we're doing.
What?
Is putting barbecue sauce on
Ooh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Oh, see, it's so
Let's
good.
See if I could get Duran's mixer in here.
He's got a mixer?
Okay, here we go. You're barbecuing the chicken like this. You got to get barbecued. We don't want it on both sides. We want it on one side because you get the flavor. And keep the other side broiled. Because it tastes good.
Oh. All right, so he's barbecuing chicken. There's one side. He says talking to himself.
Hello?
Merrill? Howard? Kalin?
Came up bad.
What?
What's he doing?
It came out bad, everybody.
Came out bad.
Did he say it came out bad?
Yeah.
You gotta play. Can you play that back?
Yeah.
I didn't listen to that close.
There's a break. Because it's the thing where the before and after, he's taking it out of the oven.
It came out bad.
And as he's taking it out of the oven,
best.
Came out bad.
Oh. Someone help me.
Third visit, yes. Someone, I need some help here. Someone
okay.
Help me. Listen.
Came out bad. It came out bad, everybody, but it was in the refrigerator for a long time.
How do you not love this guy?
Is he gold?
And the announcer, I think, is his brother, Cato.
Way to do it. And that's how you use a measuring cup, folks.
Oh, no, I'm skipping around. I'm going
okay.
Way deep into the show.
So, I mean, I'm listening, obviously listening to this, not seeing the video of it. He brings the chicken out, and it's not cooked right. And so he laughs and says it just came out bad. That is fantastic.
It's raw. Yeah.
That, I mean, put him on the Food Network.
Oh, hold on, where is he?
Way to do it. And that's how you use a measuring cup, folks. Next, you're going to stir it up.
Stir it up. What's he making?
Number two.
What is he making?
Stir it up so good. Excuse me, folks. My Jello's falling down. Excuse me.
What's falling down?
His Jello is falling
okay.
down.
God.
You know, after we get done with this, after we have our fun with this,
right.
We'll link this on our website.
Absolutely. Good.
And you know, maybe, Johnny, is the link up now?
I put up one of them, yeah.
Yeah, so everybody can see him.
Okay,
now.
Good.
We really got to share this with everybody.
Absolutely.
My show's going to be stirring up the Jello here. I'm trying, folks. My Jello's not doing that great. It's dying in the audience.
No.
This show is going to be... My pudding's falling, my Jello's falling down, folks. Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a much type of beer powers, folks. So we're going to go into the kitchen.
Oh, God.
Go to the kitchen and see what we could do.
Star of tomorrow today.
I see skies of blue.
Buzz has got some video up on his.
Yeah, I just put out the picture so you can see.
So now you can see the celebrity.
He's lovable to look at, too.
He's kind of pliable and doughy.
He's a little doughy.
Uh-huh. It looks a little like Brian Vandergraaf from Channel 7. I like hanging out everyone who looks like that.
Another compliment for the weathercaster.
Brian Vandergraaf.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Welcome back to the Merrill Howard Kalin Show.
We just came back from the microwave, and we cooked a marvelous chicken and stuffing.
Oh, stuffing.
It was marvelous. Yum. It was marvelous. Are these people discovering him now on our website? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Is this guy Kalen any relation to the smaller half of the Turtles, Howard Kalen?
Oh, you know, that's another Kalen.
Howard Kalen.
That's right.
I had Kato, he had Howard.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. That guy, you guys would have Battle Royale with the Kalens.
Kalen's tough.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, you guys should mix that Timmy Abibonet bit with your collection.
Oh, Timmy's another.
You know, you can't blame people for really loving the sounds.
That would just be hilarious.
I know, that's okay, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Donnie.
Yeah, and Mike, we're all here.
This is some of the funniest goddamn radio I've ever heard in my life.
This guy is a winner, I'm telling you.
He is gold. He really is gold.
And I want you to know, we discovered him. We discovered this guy. He's public access outside Chicago.
Right.
Nobody knows about him.
It's a combination of, like, Arnold and Mike Tyson. Mike, you got to work on it.
You know what? I never would, because he's too good. He is too much of an original.
And guess who else is here? Jimmy Stewart. Well, I'm Jimmy Stewart. I'm showing you how to cut apples. Let's see how it came out.
This is the start.
There you go.
Licking good chicken.
Yeah.
And look at that with and stuffing.
Looking good.
We're going to do something different here. We're going to get some salad.
Salad?
Oh.
Did he say cheese?
Yeah. Okay.
Again.
We're doing some salad. Let's now try the tomato. That's how you do it. People in the audience, people.
Yeah, hi, Johnny.
You also need to know that he's making this salad on the same board that he was cutting that chicken, raw chicken.
It's true. It's true.
Okay.
That's okay.
Johnny Garmin. No. Anywhere. Do not cook alone.
Don't cook alone.
Do not cook alone. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
How are you?
Howdy. Howdy. What's up?
Hey, thanks for making us FedEx guys' day great, man.
All right. Thank you.
Don't
thank us. Thank, what's his name?
Merrill Howard Kalen.
Hey, one more thing.
Yeah.
You know, for Lent, you say you're going to give up Xbox. Are you thinking about it? I'm going to talk you out of it. That new Guitar Hero is coming out.
When?
For Xbox, during Lent.
Oh,
during Lent.
Yes. Sorry, bud.
You know I might be picking up the Guitar Hero.
That's a good call. Robbie, Johnny, let's give this guy a prize from the prize closet.
Thank you, sir.
And is that one, I don't know enough about the game. Is that something I can play with my kids, too? If
yes.
I get the Guitar Hero, we get up.
Yes.
Oh, we're doing that this week.
I've got it, but I don't think it's out yet for Xbox.
Oh, it's not?
Sometime. No, the guy was saying sometime during.
Oh, I thought it was a new version. I thought they might have had an old version.
There is Guitar Player, whatever it is, 2,
right.
For PlayStation
okay.
2.
Right.
It's not on the Xbox platform
right. Very
yet.
Good.
Or here comes John with more breaking news.
You could just get a guitar.
Gosh, I hope this is more video game news. Come on, Buzz. Play in our world.
All right.
Have video games like American Idol.
No, I was just coming to talk to Rob.
Oh, okay.
And guess who else is here? Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Yeah, we got to go to Buzz in the news now.
Well, a round of applause for Merrill Howard Kalen.
Yeah.
We'll have much absolutely
more,
fantastic.
Much more of Merrill on tomorrow's show.
And that's it, folks.
Very good.
I promise. Now it's time for the news.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
The news. Everybody's got an intro.
Thank you, Merrill.
Well, hi, everybody.
Rob? Yes? Someone wanted to talk to you.
I know who.
Johnny
Garmin.
He's a good guy.
Joe!
Yeah, Joe.
How are you doing, Joe?
Joe. Special place in his heart for Joe. And this guy loves it right here. Listen to that.
Well, hi, everybody! Have your mama, dad, or your brothers, or your family be there when you're cooking. How are you doing, Joe?
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Come on. Time for the news.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
This is the news.
We'll be back with Buzz's news right after.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
No stems, no seeds. Just Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Those are nice shoes Buzz has on, but I'd hate to be in them.
Well, we get a lot of hits on our website right now with people checking out not only the Master Chef.
Well, hi, everybody.
Howard Kalin.
Also, that the listener that called with the link to the congressman eating his booger.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
On C-SPAN.
I mean, he's really going all the way with it.
That's good stuff.
That's that, too.
So good. All of that's at DonandMikeWebsite.com. Here now is our friend Frank. Hello, Francis.
Hi, Don and Mike.
What's happening, F-Man?
To beat a drug test. That's one theory about why Britney Spears shaved her head. Having solved the JFK assassination and the mystery of UFOs, conspiracy theorists are speculating on the intranets that Brit had a major fight with K-Fed earlier that day.
Uh-oh.
Day of the shaving.
Oh,
which he threatened to have her hair tested for drugs.
I should mention that yesterday when we did our hack radio bit with having the chicks shave their heads off.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Shave their hair off.
Not shave their heads. No, their hair.
Still thinking on
that's the OJ contest.
Uh-huh.
Come down and shave your head off.
Everyone's a winner.
Anyway, lots of stations around the country started picking up on that this morning, and you'll be glad to know.
Matt Lauer was going to shave his head this morning, right?
You will be glad to know. Was he really?
No, I'm kidding. Again?
I'm kidding.
I knew you were.
I knew that would make you laugh, too.
I just knew you loved the laughing, Dave.
I love the laughing, too. That was a good one.
God damn it, now you made
you were talking about head shaving. Other stations.
Other stations picked up on it.
Yeah.
When I was kidding yesterday and saying we need coverage in the trades about that.
Right.
The trades have contacted us for the pictures of the five chicks because we're going to be getting our credit, our much due, in the radio industry publications for being the first guys to have girls come down and shave their head like all these spares.
I'll tell you, nobody deserves it more than we do.
Excellent.
That's for sure.
That's true.
And who knows, maybe we'll finally get that Sioux City affiliate. We
this is going to kick us over the top. So the theory is that K-Fed threatened to get some of Britney's hair and have it tested for drugs because, you know, they've got this a potentially ugly custody battle over the kids looming. Federline canceled his NBA All-Star party in Vegas over the weekend so he could be available to the kids and to Britney. Spears spent a few hours at Eric Clapton's Crossroads Clinic in the Caribbean last Wednesday. Yesterday, she checked into the Promises Rehab Clinic in the Malibu Hills.
Eric Clapton said she looked wonderful tonight.
And today she checked out again.
You look wonderful tonight.
And, you know, she brought her dog, and her dog just would not answer.
No?
Would not, it was, would not obey. I'm sorry.
Lay down, Sally.
Oh, God.
Man.
She shot a sheriff, too.
Well, the problem was when she got to the facility at Clapton's facility, they grilled her on a few things, you know, as far as what she did, and she just insisted that she wasn't involved with coke. She said she don't like cocaine.
They put her in a white room. He was in Cream before.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's right.
Kind of a musicologist.
They do a little aerobics thing at the Clapton.
A musicologist.
Where they actually hit the floor, and then they have to sing a note. So it's like they'll lay, and then they say la. I'm very, very sorry.
Oh, wow.
I believe I've gone too far with it now.
No, you haven't. Hold
Thank
on.
You.
She's got the bell-bottom blues.
Mm-hmm.
Now have I gone too far?
No, no. That's
Derek of the Dominoes.
You're doing Derek of the Dominoes. That's all right.
A legitimate play. I might be out.
She wears it as if it were a badge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Cream song. Badge.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Badge rhymes with vag, not that it means anything at all.
No, just a fun fact.
And, of course, we hope someday that we don't feel her tears from heaven.
That's yeah, and that's how you wrap it up. I think that's it.
No tears from heaven.
I was going to go there, but I just didn't have a clever way to do it. But you just went right to it, and you've wrapped it up in a nice little bow.
I didn't have one for Layla, but that didn't stop you.
I tell you what, I will.
You're king of the Claptons.
I will come up with more. Uh-huh. Call me after midnight.
After midnight.
There are now... nearly a dozen websites based upon or inspired by the 15-year-old girl in Florida who can't stop hiccuping.
Mm-hmm.
This week, when she was in New York on the Today Show's dime, she got 57 calls from Good Morning America, which also slipped notes under her hotel room door.
Right.
She's also gotten calls from the producers of The Ellen DeGeneres Show and producers in Canada and Great Britain. Her stepfather says they went to the media hoping someone could find a cure, but quoting him now, she's being used. She's not for sale. She's a human being, he says. People have suggested remedies, but so far none of them have worked.
I can't do surgery
for that.
I suggest Lisa Remedy.
There's no
off switch.
No off switch.
And I think the surgery for that would be the OJ surgery. Just cut her head off.
Yeah, and keep it in a jar or something like that.
The best remedy I saw them do, and if you don't think they're exploiting her, you're wrong.
Right.
She was holding a knife in her teeth like a pirate and drinking pickle juice.
Wow.
I saw it, too.
Wasn't it great?
Saw it, too.
Wow.
And you know what? She's hot. Hot as balls.
Like the queen?
Oh, well, nobody's that hot.
Yeah, nobody's that hot. Nobody's quite that hot. The good or the bad thing about stories like Britney, the hiccup girl, Anna Nicole, and the diapered astronaut is that they take our minds off stuff like gas going back to $3 a gallon. It's one of the first signs of spring, the annual rising cost of gasoline. It's
already, those bastards!
Already,
Buzz, when?
Already gone up 38 cents a gallon in the past month, so it's already begun. The price is now 10 cents a gallon more than it was at this time last year before prices finally broke that $3 mark. Experts say we might get lucky, we might stay under $3, but they say prices will go up as they do every year for the summer driving season.
That's how they get you. Mm-hmm. I noticed when we were going to AC, maybe you guys noticed the same thing this weekend, Mike. The further you get away from a major metropolitan area,
mm-hmm.
you see a sign where it said like regular $1.99, and you almost want to stop and take a picture of it.
Right.
Yeah. You just go, like, oh, my God, do you believe that? That's so cheap.
This is so unusual.
Doesn't even take regular, but fill it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a bargain. They get you right here in the city. That's what they get you.
Right.
Yeah. It's the way they work. That guy with the hair lift for ExxonMobil.
Oh, big news. The troops are coming home. Not ours. We're sending 21,000 more. But British troops, our biggest
welcome
allies.
Welcome back to the south.
They're going home.
Well, the Queen demanded it.
That's right. The British pull out again.
Let's
in April.
Not bring Janet on.
I'm terribly sorry.
England can kiss my ass.
I think I apologized to her. You did. We. She was right. Technically, she was right.
Technically, mm-hmm. she was right that the Queen.
I mean, the Queen could do that if she wanted to.
Was Janet?
Technically, she could. She could.
I
still disagree with Janet where she says the Queen did that.
And
that's why they pulled it out.
It was her theory that the Queen actually called Tony Blair and said, Harry wants to go over there, so. Just take the whole army out.
Right.
Put the army out right now. Tony Blair.
James Mason, ladies and gentlemen.
I wish to have the entire military presence reduced 100%, Tony.
The British pullout begins in April. Half of all British troops in Iraq will be home for Christmas, and all the British troops will be home sometime in 08. Prime Minister Tony Blair calls the British operation in Iraq a success.
Make sure they're back for Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Question, if you please.
All right.
When you say troops, again, this is where I get confused.
Soldiers. I should say soldiers.
Number of soldiers. So Britain has, what, about 1,500 soldiers over there now?
That's correct.
And we have how many tens of thousands?
Like 130,000 with 21,000 more.
I don't think the distribution is entirely equitable.
Kind of a jip. I've been naively thinking that Great Britain was our ally in this.
Did you think mistakenly that we were putting half the weight? Did you think that we were actually putting half the weight?
God, your farts smell like bad eggs, Queen Elizabeth.
Thank you so very much. I had kippers for breakfast.
You're hot.
There's nothing. I've said to Philip over the years.
You're hot as balls.
There's nothing quite as nasty as a kipper fart. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Hello, Howard Kalin.
Well, hi, everybody.
Meryl Howard Kalin.
Welcome.
We'd love to have you in the UK. Show me how to prepare a chicken.
We have met the enemy, and he has exaggerated. Turns out the Justice Department's been padding its resume with bogus boogeymen. Turns out Justice has been counting marriage fraud and common immigration cases among its so-called anti-terror investigations. Clearly, these numbers were inflated to make terrorism appear to be a bigger threat than it is in reality.
I'm a boogeyman. That's what I am. I'm here to do whatever I can.
You want to see that, go to our website, too. You'll see the boogeyman.
Yes, the boogeyman.
Featured today. Those conspiracy theorists say this will say that this was done for political reasons, this stretching of the truth. But the truth is that it's more about fattening up the Justice Department's budget. The more terrorists there are to fight, the more money it gets to fight them.
Here's my fat budget.
Who would we elect for president, and who would we not elect for president?
I'd vote for him.
I know you would. We'll talk about who you would and wouldn't vote for when we return.
Okay. Excellent notion. And you again are the queen.
I'm the queen of England.
And your farts smell like kippers.
This is the Don and...
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everybody. This is the new...
Irreplaceable Don and Mike.
Oh, I just defended your honor, Buzz.
I overheard part of that. What did I miss?
Well, all the lines were ringing during the break. And it's been a long time since I've answered the request lines.
Yes.
And I thought I'd see what was happening with the pulse of our listeners.
Yes. Right.
Answered a couple of lines, you know, in my standard Don My Show. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, hey, I like the video of the cooking guy.
Well, right. Hi, everybody.
Merrill Howard Kalin.
And then the next call was something like, I can't figure out the website.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next call was... And I hope this douchebag's listening right now.
Let me talk to Buzz.
He's not here. Can I help you?
Yeah. Why you gotta trash Bush every day, man?
Mm-hmm.
What's your problem with trashing Bush every day?
So I engaged the guy in some playful repartee, and then I'm bored of him. I'm tired of him. I finally said, hey, dude, it's not Joe. It's Don. I said, and to an extent, I agree with what you're saying. And I try to tell Buzz, don't go overboard on Bush.
Right, right.
But, listen, it's Buzz's news show. And really, we all think Bush is a jerk anyway. And then the guy said,
well, listen, man, you guys just can't be doing that on the radio.
I said, we can do it on the radio anytime. I mean, it was a good old-fashioned screaming match.
Yes.
And he walked right into it because he said...
And anybody else can do that on the radio with the other team.
That's right,
and they do.
He said something about, well, that just stinks. And I said, like your mom. And he said, yeah, she's dead. And I said, well, that's why she stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you think that's funny? And I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, what else do you think is funny? And I said, I think Bush is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you guys can't talk about Bush. And then... I just kind of went off
very
on the
easy,
guy.
Very emotional. Just, you know, everybody, it's amazing that passions are still aroused.
Please, yeah. All you young Nazi Republicans, get over it. Jesus Christ, Buzz has toned it down. But
yes, way
Christ,
down.
He's allowed to say Bush is a jerk off.
And I didn't actually say that. I just reported that we were pulling out, Britain was pulling out troops.
That's they're pulling out, yeah. We're not. Yeah. We're adding, they're subtracting.
Right. Anyway,
it's that simple, deal with it.
Hi to those listeners that I had a chance to speak with during the commercial.
Right.
How interesting. And Joe came running in right away and said, those are my people.
Right.
Those are my people.
My peeps.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Meryl.
How are you doing,
Meryl.
Joe?
Meryl Howard Kalin. Sorry, Meryl.
The show's going to be funny.
Funny.
Hey, Joe, did you just act out on all the phones?
Oh, no.
They're all X'd out. Did you fix them? All right, thank you, Joe.
Don, yeah. The phones?
Yes.
They sleep with the fishes.
Taken care of?
Yeah, that's right, Buzz.
Only when the young Republicans call in.
Thank you, my friend.
The young Republicans call limbo.
Now, the guy was really pissed at you, Buzz.
Yeah,
he
I
was
got that
really,
impression.
It was like, every day Buzz says that!
No, not every day. But you know, he should be standing up. He might be satisfied to know there are plenty of outlets where he can hear what he'd like to hear.
That's true.
No,
go ahead,
yes.
Just hit scan.
That's right, brother. These days, the assumption is that a woman or a black man could be elected president. A new survey shows that 94% of us would vote for a qualified...
A woman or a black man.
No, I'm serious, really. Sir? It's not that funny. A lot of people say they would vote for
they already
a woman.
Voted a chimp in there.
A black man.
Hey, that was me for you, buddy.
Those are my friends. A new survey shows that 94% of us would vote for a qualified black candidate for president like Barack Obama. 92% would vote for a Jew. Remember, that also means 8% would not.
Mm-hmm.
88% would vote for a qualified woman like Hillary.
You know, these people are just so full of it. This is America, and you know that people do not really feel that way in their hearts.
Right. It is true that in these surveys, we tend to be more open-minded than we really are.
Because you're being surveyed.
Right, right.
You know, how you really feel in your heart, a lot of people don't know that until you walk into the voting, you know, the voting place.
Still, it's interesting
the polling place,
to hear what people say they would do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 72% say they would vote for a Mormon like Mitt Romney. Oh, I skipped. 88% say they would vote for an Hispanic. Two-thirds would
I'd like to say that I would vote for a Quaker. Thank you.
I would too.
Never mind. I just remembered we're back on in Albuquerque.
Never mind. Yes. Never mind. You know what that is?
Right. Self-editing.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Two-thirds of us would vote, or say we would, vote for a guy who's been married three times, like Rudy Giuliani. 57% would vote for somebody who's 72 or older, as John McCain will be by Election Day.
If they can ride in a major NASCAR race like Daytona, they can be president of the United States. That's the way I look at it.
It is. And
but no blacks, women, or Jews, please.
It is an enlightened age, however.
Yeah. You forgot the Hispanics.
Hispanics and also Quakers. None of that. No.
Get it up!
The only Hispanic that I could really see supporting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because we were thrown off in Albuquerque
mm-hmm.
about 5 years ago for bringing up the entire what language do you speak in America
right, exactly, yeah.
debate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'll say that the only Hispanic that I would really support
mm-hmm.
is George Lopez.
Give me a break.
Good choice.
I'd like to welcome everyone who's going to vote for me. Thank you for voting for me.
And if you don't like the weather, change your shirt.
Give me a break and change your shirt, okay? I'm the bum, the bleacher bum.
He's the only Hispanic that I could see voting for.
Man, all right. That's why I get the blues.
And the only black I could see voting for is Lamont from Sanford and Son.
Lamont, that choice not even on the air anymore. Why are you even talking about it? It's not on the air anymore. Donnie?
15.
Excuse me, boy, I just went out the window. Like your video game. Merrill Howard Kalin.
Well, hi, everybody.
Give me a break. 55% of us say we'd vote for a qualified gay candidate for president.
That's going to happen.
There's one group, however, that's still shut out of the White House in this public opinion poll. Only 45% of us say we'd vote for an atheist. For them, it's a stained glass ceiling.
I'd vote for Penn.
Oh, President
as
Penn.
As would I.
President Gillette.
President Penn Gillette. Or as we like calling him, Penn Teller.
Penn Teller.
How's our good friend Penn Teller doing?
Penn Teller. Oh, in sports, Barry Bonds says, bring it. Bring on the steroid investigation. Quoting him at yesterday's workout with the Giants, it doesn't weigh on me at all. It's just media conversation, he says. Bonds could be indicted by a grand jury for lying about steroid abuse, but the investigation began actually 4 years ago. And a USC hockey player was ejected from a game over the weekend after mooning the crowd from the opposing team school, BYU, Brigham Young. Mickey Meyer, the Trojan starting goalie, pulled down his hockey pants.
The goalie did it.
And exposed his bare buttocks to the crowd in the final period of the game on Saturday afternoon.
Mickey Meyer.
He told reporters later that he's not sure why he did it, mainly because he'd had his fill of the referees. A local prosecutor is now considering filing criminal charges against Mickey.
You know, as a hockey player, I will tell you, the goalies on our team were always the guys that were, like, just not quite right.
But isn't it really hard to get those hockey pants
it's
off?
It's impossible.
And especially if
you know, I haven't played for so long, it's probably a little easier now.
Don't you have, like, suspenders?
You have suspenders? You have suspenders, and especially the goalies are, like, in armor.
Extra pads around their legs and everything?
Yeah, extra pads. He really had to work hard at it. Probably practiced. The owner of the arena says his is a family arena. The commentators, however, called the stunt hilarious, and the crowd gave Mickey a standing ovation.
This show is almost over.
Yes, it is. You're
hip,
right.
Hip, hip, way to be.
And to me, Merrill. Finally, Wisconsin these days is running a close second to Florida when it comes to tales of the bizarre and ironic. In Waukesha, a 39-year-old man thought he heard a woman being raped next door.
I like rape.
He picked up his sword and burst into the neighboring apartment shouting, "Where is she?" With his criminal past, this good Samaritan is once again in trouble with the law because he tried to help. Because, as it turns out, it wasn't a rape. It was his neighbor watching a porno movie.
Oh, my God. That's hot.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No.
Let's do it.
Yeah, Tone.
20 hours until the next meeting.
All right.
Welcome.
We'll see you then.
Take care, Merrill.
With a brand new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you, Wikipedia.
Why you trash Bush so bad?
See you tomorrow, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.